I'm sorry.
That's what
no,
she
you're
said.
Not. You're sorry that I caught you.
No, I
before you got it completely locked.
He didn't want to lock it for a day.
I'm curious what's past an hour.
2 hours?
I don't know. It went from
50. If it's exponential, it might go to a day, or it might just brick it. Like, you never
it
know.
It could just brick it.
Man.
Oh, that would be horrible.
Then you would owe me a new iPad.
Well, no, I just tripped to the store going, oh, an idiot. But I would have felt bad if it said, like, a day. I mean, I would have laughed for a few minutes and say, I have to leave.
You would laugh for more than a
minute.
I have to leave. You go, excuse me. You would just walk out the
I hear
door.
Jordan calling me.
Just leave everything. Grab my iPad, leave everything else I own behind. There's a lost cause item. It's a sacrificial lamb.
I'm writing it all off.
And hope I get there before Katie runs me over.
Wake up with a dead...
I mean, if her iPad's
no, you're
going to
wake up with, like, I'm going to get Jordan a bow number two. Your punishment.
I mean, if your iPad's unlocked for a day, I don't know how you'd respond. I know it wouldn't be well.
Wouldn't it be well?
Would not be good. I would steal yours.
You should do it on a Friday.
Throw it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was a Friday night.
It was a Friday night.
Man, that
she'd have killed you.
That might have crossed the line from funny to murder.
You need to get it locked for an hour before we record so she'll pay attention.
I am paying attention. Yeah. Somewhat. Talk about something interesting. I'll pay attention.
Welcome to episode 71.5 of the Crippled System Podcast.
I don't understand that.
71.5?
I don't understand that.
Because we already did episode 71.
But isn't
so
today 70?
Can it be 72 then?
No.
76?
No, we're just... No, we're doing 71.5.
Okay.
I still don't understand it, but more power to you.
Episode 71 was the April Fool's episode from last week.
I understand that. Part we get.
I get that. I just don't get why we're not just jumping to 72. But hey, more power to you.
Or back to 17.
There's a lot of things I don't understand, and I don't fight them. I'm not saying, how dare you call it that. I'm just saying, I don't understand.
And I like the attitude. It's like, you know what? I don't get it. We're moving on. We need to do that. Our group needs to do that more often.
I never learned to do that.
I don't understand that, so I'm going to attack you. It's too common of a thing in our group.
Yeah, but it's
we're
so much more
so
fun.
We're so nice.
Yeah, we're nice.
Particular...
We're nicer than the St. Louis crew. Those guys are just like F you to each other back and forth.
One of their guys' names is Damn It Jeff. That's his name.
So is he like the Jeremy of their group?
Probably, yes. He got killed on top of two.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I might have been a little overkill.
Seriously.
Like, you don't have to kill somebody.
Yeah. No, not... Oh, God.
You can just stop hanging out with him.
Was he playing that ret?
Like, he was that bad, they're just like, fuck you, and just brained him?
I thought he was playing Nail.
He was playing Nail.
It is.
He died. He literally died.
It's a game within a game.
I've heard that about it.
That's what Beanish taught me.
Anyway, I'm Jeremy.
Wait. I'm the one who introed. I get to say my name.
Okay, go ahead.
Are those new headphones?
Yeah, they're pretty horrible.
Yeah, they're gigantic.
They're actually Brian's headphones.
You look like a Cyberman.
Merp. I'm Lobot.
Lobot, they'd be around the back of your head.
Oh, all right. Here.
There you go. Oh, my God, it's Lobot!
Here we go.
The verisimilitude is astounding.
Yeah, except for Lobot didn't have hair. Or a beard.
Who's Lobot?
He's Lando Calrissian's bro on Cloud City.
He's the one...
cyborg sidekick.
He's the one actually in charge of Cloud City.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
Yeah, pretty much Lando is just there.
He's the figurehead. He's the smarmy guy to get the... He gets the investors.
Yep.
And the ladies.
He's an idea man, because I think Cloud City was his idea. And then in the expanded universe, in the good trilogy...
That used to exist.
They have the mining city he has that's an Imperial Star Destroyer mounted on top of AT-ATs that walks around a planet.
Which is amazing.
Because it stays on the cold, like, it has the dark side of the moon thing, so the city literally walks at the same speed that the planet orbits to stay in the cool area.
That trilogy was so good.
It was a good trilogy.
It was really good.
Yeah. I'm really surprised, we're tangenting way off right away, but it's a pretty cool discussion. I'm really surprised that some of the ones like Shadows of the Empire and that all got nixed as well.
They
the ones
slashed
that
and burned the whole thing.
The ones that fit in between all six of the movies.
Right.
It kind of sucks that
it was probably an all or nothing thing.
Like, yeah. I personally would have been okay with the entire expanded universe blowing up and not existing except for the Thrawn trilogy. But the problem is there's somebody out there who feels that same way about Shadows of the Empire. And there's somebody out there who feels the same way about Jason and Jaina Solo.
Nobody feels that way about the courtship of Princess Leia.
I don't know. That was kind of fun.
Actually, I got to admit, an army of female Siths riding on the back of Rancors is pretty fucking awesome.
It's amazing.
Like, that was like the anime Star Wars book. Was. Like, it's supposed to be the ninja scroll of Star Wars.
Also, who wouldn't want to win a planet in a card game?
Yeah, well, you know.
The other thing about this, too, is now they're going to have to go back and edit Episode 4 again and take out Dash Rendar's ship.
Why?
Because his ship is taken off at Mos Eisley.
And
it's just, well, it's expanded universe. Can't
yeah, he
it.
Is an expanded universe thing.
Yeah.
Well, that ship is in the actual, like, they don't have to.
They don't. It doesn't have to be Dash.
It could.
It's just a ship.
I suppose.
Whatever. I'm Andy. I play mercenaries and other stuff.
And I'm Brian, and I play either Scorn or Krix. I don't know.
I'm Nathan. I play Convergence.
And Katie, I play Candy Crush.
Which you shouldn't.
That is true.
And a lot of things I shouldn't do. This is like on the low priority.
To be fair,
list.
The things Katie shouldn't do, it is pretty low.
If you
Jeremy's like, high in that list.
If you,
wow.
If you flayed puppies to death, I would ask you to stop Candy Crush first.
Wow.
I would do the other one. Just throw that in there.
Andy, why are you turning my mic off? Oh, that's somebody else? Pretty sure that's my mic.
Your
anyway.
Mic is not that. This is your mic.
Oh,
your
okay.
mic was on.
Oh, I'm orange
I
now.
I was eating a biscuit.
Oh, you were turning
and
you
I
off.
Didn't want to talk into the mic with my biscuit mouth.
Even better.
It's a Popeye's biscuit. They're delicious.
Popeye biscuit.
So anyway, I'm Jeremy, Valiant 418 on the forum. I play Rhett and Legion. And I play both badly, apparently.
You
That's
do.
True.
So first things first, announcements.
Announcements.
I don't have time for this. We only have a couple, so it's
we
okay.
We have too many to go through. So
there's not
no
a lot
today.
Of things going on.
I had to actually write them all down, so I wouldn't forget. I'll even do them in order. May and there's two of them on May 24th, depending on where you are in the Midwest. If you're in Chicago, you're in luck. There's a 50-point Commander's Crucible at Chicago's Games Day. If you are in Des Moines or in the Des Moines area, you can play a 50-point Steamroller event with some of the Des Moines people. And Andy's pointing fingers in random directions.
But his mouth's full, so he's powerless.
May 17th, there is a event in Minnesota, Twin Cities, at that one store that those guys own.
Tower Games.
It's a team tournament, like an Adepticon-style team tournament.
And he's dying.
Andy was going to go with who are you going with?
Pat.
With Pat. But you appear to be dying from a Popeye's biscuit, so I might have to go with Pat.
No, Pat's not going.
Wait a minute.
Oh, Pat's backing out?
So. Yeah, Pat's backing out.
Oh, okay then.
Pat asked me to be his friend on Facebook, and I was actually really surprised because I didn't think that he liked me very much. Well,
you take his money and try to feed him meat.
You did buy him a burger that one time, so of course he likes you.
I'm trying to be nice.
On May 31st, there's also two events going on. If you're in Wisconsin, in Oshkosh, there's a team event going on, just like Adepticon. Or if you're like us, you're going to flee the state to go to Cedar Rapids for the final of the four-pack 50-point tournaments. That's like four tournaments. It's like five tournaments in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. June 6th to 8th is, of course, Lock and Load, which Jeremy and Andy and a quarter of the world will be going to.
No.
And for the rest of us stuck here in Madison, there's a 50-point standard tournament going on. But I am giving away faction coins, so that should draw some people in.
You did forget to mention that May 24th and May 25th is board games.
Well, yeah, I was going to think that. If you are near Madison and you want to play some
board games.
Yep. 24th at Misty Mountain Games, 25th at Pegasus Games. Exciting. June 14th at Milwaukee at Gametown is a 50-point tournament. Standard Steamroller. June 20th.
There's another June 14th. Someone emailed us about June Sons 14th in New Berlin, Wisconsin. There's yet another event.
That's
50-point Steamroller.
That's Game Town. I call it Milwaukee because I'm trolling
it's
them.
It's in Wisconsin.
So is Milwaukee.
I know.
Milwaukee.
So is New Berlin.
What?
I don't understand.
I actually didn't know New Berlin was the same as Milwaukee.
It's not. He literally just explained it.
I know, but I didn't know that when I pointed it out.
And then you corrected him in a way that makes me think that you don't know where Milwaukee is.
It's where the Brewers play. They're a Madison, oh, not Madison, but a Wisconsin team.
And there's also a third event north of Chicago in the small 50
you
points at Game
to Milwaukee.
Down.
Yes, I know.
Katie, did you see our tweet?
No.
That we posted out? So Jeremy said, he's like, are we going past Chicago to get to St. Louis?
Yeah, he really thought we were going through Chicago on the way to St. Louis.
He wanted to go eat at the Belvedere Oasis, and I'm like, no, we're not going past
that. To be fair, we did drive exactly the way we drive as if we're going to Chicago until about 5 minutes before the Oasis we turned off. to be fair.
But you did say we're going to Chicago to get to St. Louis, right?
Because odds are you went down 39, then you went down on 90 instead of 94.
Yeah, we went straight down. So Jeremy's right in the sense that, yes, we were going the same way we normally go to Chicago, except for we went straight instead of turning left.
To be fair, the Belvedere Oasis is right after the split off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
but it's nowhere near Chicago. Like, your question was about Chicago, not about the Belvedere Oasis.
It was originally whether we were going by the Belvedere Oasis, but I extrapolated.
The important thing is that Milwaukee is not in Illinois.
That's also true.
So some people will be at that event. Other people will be lost going, well, Jeremy gave me directions. I wanted to play the tournament on the 14th, but I don't know where I am anymore. The 20th and the 22nd, again, is Daikon in St. Louis.
June 13th is on a Friday, Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Does anybody know anything awesome that happens on June 13th?
It's your birthday.
It's my birthday!
Nothing like begging for birthday.
Friday the 13th. Fuck yeah.
June 28th, there is a event in Reedsburg, Wisconsin, 35-point tournament, new game. It's
not in Milwaukee?
Reedsburg is not in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
Nor is it near Milwaukee. It's a store that just got a war machine. And finally, I'm going to stop. I'm stopping at July 12th. I could go on every week until like September, but I'm not going to.
Do it. Keep going.
July 12th, there is a 50-point tournament in Madison for first three place coins, and I'm going to stop there because that's a lot of events.
You got
a
marathon it.
I'm not going to just go for like an hour of events.
The point is, if you want to play War Machine at some point in the summer, you.
If you were in the
literally every weekend,
if you were in the Midwest, there's just turn left. You found an event. Is what's happening.
This is true.
It's a little ridiculous.
Just drive through Chicago. You'll get to where you're heading.
Start Chicago, turn a direction. And I'm sure I missed some. I'm sure there's even more in Chicago I missed. Because once I realized there was like four events in Wisconsin, and I didn't track all the Chicago ones.
You stopped looking.
Well, I'm like, this is ridiculous. Because they usually, like, that one store, what's the story? Games Plus, not Games Plus, the other one that's down there. The
Dice Dojo.
The second Saturday of every month, they have a tournament.
Yeah,
and I don't have their June 14th tournament listed here, but I know they have one there.
I need to go there soon because I have a gift card.
That's
true. I need to spend there.
I need to go play some board games, and they have all of them.
They do have all of the board games. That's a really cool store.
The place over Game Night had a few games too.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. So that's all for the announcements. What's our next topic?
You guys want to talk about your thing with the yesterday and the day before and the Hey Nannies?
Well, there isn't. Do we have emails? Because
we do.
List.
We do have a few emails.
Oh, so, you want to go? You're going to let Jeremy dictate the order that we're doing these things?
Well, I wanted to see where we crash if we did that. It was kind of an experiment in chaos.
Wow. St. Louis, the Arana, there's no Katie's Corner. All right, fine. Email. I was reading your itinerary.
I asked if that worked for people. Anyway.
Is it Nathan, the one who's supposed to do the itinerary?
No, specifically, but whatever. Jeremy can have his day.
When we gave Jeremy emails, he started just... do that. And all right, so
we're picking
up
on Jeremy. I have to bring this up now.
Oh,
I wasn't sure if I was going to bring this up now. We were watching HBO last night, and right before Game of Thrones, this show comes on. It goes, in 1981, and then it shows a bunch of gay people kind of at the park dancing and singing, and then some of the gay people get ill, and then they're like, what's going on? All the homosexuals are getting ill, and you know, it's like the early 80s, and there's some kind of disease going around, and Jeremy's like, what a weird premise for a movie to have it just attack the gays.
To be fair, I missed the 1981 because I was eating, and I just heard something weird, and I looked up, and they're like, all the gays are getting sick. And I was like, what? I didn't notice there was a year associated.
And Jordan, of course, I had to tell you what it was. I'm like, Jordan, don't tell him what it means because this is amazing.
I missed the 1981.
The only one who was alive to know, really experienced that 1981 was Brian.
I don't think Brian really experienced it.
He experienced it.
But you don't have to experience firsthand. Like, if there's a thing that was like 1937 and then they were just killing a bunch of Jews, I wouldn't have to be like, what a weird premise for a story. Like, that's called history.
But if you missed 1937 and you thought it was supposed to be set in modern day, and they were like, suddenly we're going to kill a bunch of Jews, you'd be like, weird premise.
I'm just saying, oddly, in this case, you made a better point than Katie did, which feels weird and abhorrent to me, but...
Well, no, but okay.
He did miss a crucial piece of information.
He did miss a crucial piece of
information. If the story was just like modern day, like, here's a new story, all the gays are dying. Like, that is a weird story to suddenly have come out.
Right?
But like, okay, here's my point. Is like, I didn't really, in my mind, AIDS is just like a thing that's out there. Like, it's bad, but it's not like an epidemic.
Right.
And so to have an epidemic level and to illustrate it as such is a weird premise because I wasn't around to experience it.
I did. Sometimes they miss the mark and whatever, but one of my favorite South Parks is the one where they pointed out that nobody gives a shit about AIDS anymore. and it was brutal. Like, because one of the characters got AIDS, and he'd go somewhere, and he'd be like, "I'm dying," and they're like, "Oh, little boy, what's wrong? You have cancer?" He's like, "No, no, it's AIDS." And they go, "Whatever, that's not cancer. Fuck off." It was like, "Oh my god,
wow." That does sound like a South Park episode.
But it's like, it's brutal, but it is the point. Like, everybody's like, you know, you have to bang the drum slowly, all the documentary and all the stuff, and then all of a sudden he's like, nah, we just don't care about AIDS anymore.
Now, to be fair, in the trailer, they were dressed pretty heavily like the 80s. They weren't dressed like modern day, because you dress differently every decade, and you could tell there was like
You don't.
Well, that is fair.
I'm living in a different time, man.
Brian just doesn't dress.
Yeah.
It's very awkward. Yeah.
Anyway, that was my Jerry moment. I just thought it was funny. He's like, "What's that? What? That's such a weird premise for a movie to just get rid of all the gays." I was like, wow.
It was a little bit of a weird premise.
Well, it is still, you know, anyway.
Anywho.
Speaking of watching HBO yesterday, are they just going to build an Emmy dispensing device outside of Peter Dinklage's house, and it's just going to shoot Emmys through his mailbox every hour? Like, here you go. Ka-chunk, Emmy just shoots through the wall.
He had a good speech.
Yeah.
And the camera's kind of going around him in a circle, kind of. They had a good little camera work going
on. Yeah, I was reading something. Somebody pointed out that, like, a lot of actors or actresses, well, like, and it's specifically mostly with dwarfs. Or dwarfism and dwarf, whatever the official term is. But dwarfs as well, or hobbits or halflings or Oompa Loompas.
Sure.
The people playing those roles, you see a lot that they have those roles, and they capitalize on their disability. It's like, I'm sure. Short, I can get a job playing an Oompa Loompa. And because they need people to play Oompa Loompas, you don't have to be a good actor. Sure. Peter Dinklage, whether he's 4 foot tall or 7 foot tall, would have been an amazing actor.
That is true.
I will say, though, I haven't enjoyed, like, I've seen a couple of interviews with him, and I haven't really enjoyed them. Like, he's kind of boring when I've heard him talk.
Like, in real life? Like,
he's very chill. He's very, like, oh, whatever. He doesn't, which is fine. I mean, but he...
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, he's not very entertaining to watch as himself.
I think mostly because you're used to him banging whores and killing people.
I mean,
and...
that's really exciting. Yeah.
So, like, in real life, you're like, I don't get it. How come nobody's dying? Like, you're boring.
You're not doing drugs or whores. Get off my television.
Since I haven't read the books at all, I'm very intrigued by his character. His character is very cool in the... From what I've
You'd
seen
be
so
intrigued
far.
By his character. His character in the book had read great. The books. Like, yeah. He's just really good.
He's everybody's favorite character, show and books. Like, everybody loves Tyrion.
I have one that I like more, but it's arguable.
Okay, everyone has him in their top
in
three
their top
characters.
Three, yes, definitely. That is
nobody doesn't. He might not be number one for everybody, but everyone has him top three.
I would agree. He's not technically a villain, so I don't know if he makes Brian's list, but he's sort of a villain.
People view him as a villain, especially after last night's little...
Tirade,
thank you.
Yeah.
So anyway, the only email we got that was new this week, we have several people talking about t-shirts, but somebody did actually go through all of our episodes and post all of our t-shirt ideas, and oh my gosh, some of these are fairly terrible, and we can't make t-shirts out of them. Some of them are hilarious.
All of them.
We'll read some.
Okay, so just to give you an example of some of these, if you're not docking, you're not trying. I took Jeremy's advice and lost my game. That we could put on a t-shirt, but I don't know why you'd want it. This is by far the worst War Machine Hordes podcast I've ever listened to in my life.
True.
I'm with Zappity. If I ever see you at a convention and you're playing Magnus 1 on a freebooter, I'm going to kick in your fucking taint. That was Nate. A pic of Cool Kurt with the text, "I'm from Springfield." I speak Swedish.
I stand by. I will kick you in your fucking taint.
Ready fan path to victory. Step one, end turn.
I don't remember that. Oh, and at all.
I remember the path to victory now.
What's the email address? Chris said he emailed us someone.
That's Chris.
That's Chris.
Okay. He's one of our Brian and my childhood friend.
Yep. Step one, end turn. Step two, look at table. Step three, weep. That was Nate again.
That's my strategy in every game to this day.
Daddy Nathan or Uncle Nathan, just on a t-shirt.
I'm not sure where that came from.
I don't know either.
We were talking about...
He has the episode
came up
number
that
there.
If we ever had kids, we'd call him Uncle Nathan. And we all kind of got weirded out.
Because I'd be the creepy uncle.
You should mention the episodes.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to skim through them real quick. But he does have all the episodes listed. A pic of our dog Malcolm with an arrow pointing to his mouth saying, "Pooh goes here." Thank God I'm not Jeremy. A pic of Katie holding up her thumb and forefinger showing how small Jeremy's penis is. There's a trend of picking on me
these
here.
At all.
Elitist idiots should go fuck themselves and or fuck elitist people.
Yeah.
Probably also Nathan. I'm a devoted Tim Buckley looker. I don't know. I don't get that one. I don't remember
Tim
that
Buckley
one.
Tim Buckley looker?
Apparently.
Looker or liquor?
That says looker.
Jeremy is both.
Jeremy is the Tom Brady of War Machine Hordes. I would wear that shirt in a heartbeat.
I would, but I don't like Tom Brady.
I know, but that's the thing, is it works for both of us.
That's true. One of us is being hipster ironic.
When your balls drop, you can come and play a real game. Bring out the GIMP with another picture of me.
We should have like some dare or some like contest, and the loser has to wear the when the balls drop, play a real game in the main hall at Adepticon next year. Just walk up and down the aisles in the Warhammer section.
With on your back saying Privateer Press War Machine Hordes.
It'd be kind of like that scene in Die Hard with a Vengeance, yes, when he has the I hate everyone.
Ends. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, because this is everyone on TV.
Which doesn't make any sense. No, it's the dumbest edit in the movie. It's I hate. And he has to wear it in, like, Harlem. So it's horrible.
No, I understand.
In the edit, it's I hate everyone. Why didn't they make it I hate black people?
Right.
Like, to keep the fact that he's specifically...
Yeah. If someone edits this and just takes it out of contest, and you are in so much trouble.
Where it just says, I hate it. Yeah, okay.
They're going to do reverse...
Somebody's going to soundboard us.
Yeah.
They're going to do, like, the Keith interview, except it's just going to be me spewing racial slurs.
So, a purple shirt with whores in Austin don't suck as much Texas cock as Keith does.
That one.
Which is closely followed a little bit later by the Texans' new team uniform, which is a purple shirt with an arrow pointing down saying, I'm with Keith.
When's Keith's birthday?
A picture of me with my head tilted, squinty-eyed, with a that's fair, but I'm angry about it anyway face, with a bus running me over. Okay. It's awfully specific.
You make that face a lot.
I think that was me. I think I mentioned that one.
A picture of a drunken, passed out Gudrun saying, make me your Gudrun.
Yeah.
You look fat in that, with a picture of me, again.
I do mean a Jeremy.
This is me on my best behavior.
Well, when you put them all together like this, it sounds bad.
It sounds bad when they're all together. I feel a little awful right now.
And then can't name names was the final one from 68. So yeah. I left off the very first one because I wanted to save it for last. Katie's brain decided it was going to take a vacation, but on the way out, it left an Upper Decker in the toilet, shit on the table, broke some stuff, and then left the door open.
Which, by the way,
it's impressive that it was able to Upper Decker and then hold some reserves to also shit on the table. You know, like you have to have two rounds in the chamber, and you have to be able to pause between them. Like that's impressive.
That's effort.
Hey, I got skills.
Yeah.
Did you see his actual t-shirt design?
Yeah, he also sent us some of his own, which I thought was really good, too.
So I like his t-shirt design.
So the front of the shirt would just say, Crippled System, taking an Upper Decker in your heart since 2012. And then on the back, the top 10 things I learned from listening to the Crippled System podcast.
Oh, boy.
Number 10, knowledge of War Machine Hordes is not a prerequisite to enjoy this podcast. No. So we're starting clean.
Neither is being on this podcast. Yeah.
Number 9, beware buckets and their contents. Number 8, never do anything said on this podcast while at work. Number 7, the criteria for being a god among men is much different than one would think. Number 6, boob science is a thing. Ooh. Number 5, so are puke angels. Number 4, the worst part of people is being there. Number 3, this message is irrelevant. Number 2, Cool Kurt is from Springfield.
I'm going to silence my phone.
And what? Number 1, this podcast is delicious.
Delicious. Give me all the ham.
I think the bucket one should be number 6. I think that should be, just switch it in the top 10.
Well, we'll have to get some of these off to the one guy, because we have the person who wanted to do some of these.
We do.
Do you still have his email?
I do. I have all that information set
forward
up.
Forward him all that and say, make these.
Well, I can't send the Gudrun one would be...
Correct.
The rest of those would all be legit.
Which is a shame, because I found an artist who does real cheap, like, cartoon style, like, chibi anime drawings for like $20. And so I was going to have him do the drunken Gudrun, but like...
Could you misspell it?
Well, I mean, like...
There's
no reason to go down that road. Like, yeah. I almost did it just to make, like, one, you know, for myself. It wouldn't be anything we ever could sell, you know, obviously.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I'm almost tempted to take all...
Is this something we could give away as contest stuff?
It's a real sticky road to start having out.
Yeah, having anything directly from Privateer Press is
rough. Because it would be using that image to promote us for a contest.
Well, and the thing is, like, legally speaking, yeah, we totally could, but I like... the people at Privateer Press. It's just not worth doing.
Yeah, we don't want to get into that. I kind of want to take all of the terrible ones about me and put them together on the back of a shirt.
Just the top 10 Jeremy quotes.
And then on my front, I would just put Jeremy from Crippled System.
Yeah.
Just sad face.
Jeremy with an arrow then circling around and then pointing up.
I'm with Jeremy.
I'm with Jeremy. And it would just point in like three directions.
God, I could take a bunch of pictures of you, and then we could try to see if we get them imaged up.
Some of these would require pictures to work just right. The Texas team uniform, we may have to make it just shipped off.
We just have to make, however, yes, yeah. Yes.
I mean, it won't be a bowling shirt, and I know they love their bowling shirts, but they could wear it under their bowling shirt and just, like, show it once in a while.
Chili would
wear it in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Chili would wear it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Nick Priest would, too.
Probably.
So anyway, thank you, Chris, for all your work. Chris, he goes by Chris, right?
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris, for all your work. We'll definitely come up with some t-shirt ideas.
Yeah.
He's coming out in one of our board game days.
Oh, cool.
That's exciting. I haven't seen him in a really long time.
I know.
Anyway, that's what I had for emails, but they were pretty good this week.
They were good. I'm glad we paused for it.
What's next on Jeremy's itinerary?
The next item up for bid on today's Price is Right is three of us went to St. Louis last weekend for the Gateway Open, which was basically a Friday, Saturday, Sunday mini con, but mm-hmm. we went just for Saturday's War Machine weekend qualifier event.
Yep.
But they had a mangled medal on Friday night and a de-escalation event on Sunday.
Yep.
As well as a Stu's the Boss overnight on Saturday.
And they had IKRPG going on.
Correct.
They had at least
I'm always
one.
Jealous when that's happening.
They had a Youngbloods event too.
They had a couple of how to do painting and modeling
and
work.
Basing. Yep. Legal Gun was doing a basing class.
Legal Gun did
it. I didn't see that at all.
It was during the tournament.
Yeah. We were busy playing some hardcore War Machine.
I mean, you could have gone.
I could have gone too, yeah.
So you guys want to...
Right. I'll start because I was definitively the worst of the weekend.
Okay, all right.
So, to steal a quote from Mom, I pissed down my leg, as Fat Asian would say.
There's a story about that, too, because he said that, and Brian and Jordan and I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah, so apparently none of them listened to the Muse on Minis podcast.
Well, I guess Jordan was the most confused.
Jordan was the most confused. He's never listened to their podcast, and so he didn't know that was a term for just doing badly. So he legitimately thought I was about to tell a story about pissing on myself.
Which is
at
a weird
convention.
Thing to share, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't piss on themselves, but just keep it to themselves? And we all have, like, I did that silly thing to myself, but no one's going to know about it story.
But coming,
except me, I've never done anything like that.
But when it's coming from Jeremy, you kind of expect it. Maybe something horrible and personable. But go ahead.
Another t-shirt idea.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, somebody made a thread that apparently, like, the last couple episodes, they haven't used that acoustic guitar intro. And someone made a thread on the Muse forums like, oh, I missed it, bring it back. And I'm just like, what?
To each their own.
Yeah.
So anyway, I pissed down my leg. I went 0-2 drop. My first round, I played Lasso, who I'd never met. Pretty cool guy. He's from St. Louis. He was very fun. Good opponent. Played E-Lich, so, you know, other than that. So he's mild asshole. But I played my new Bethane list. My new Bethane list did pretty well. I had some operator error. I lost. It came down to a fairly close game at the end that it probably didn't need to be if I hadn't fucked up. I have two Excarnate targets in the list, and I decided to put one of them within run and Excarnate range of a chicken. Two Spell Martyrs. And so he Excarnated it and killed, like, six X-Hunters. That would have been better if it hadn't happened.
Yeah.
So... mistakes were made, but very close game, almost pulled it out, but in the end he won. Then round two, in the loser's bracket, I faced Jordan Knack, not the first person you want to see across the table when you're already in the loser's bracket. So he dropped a Fiona the Blacklist and just molested me. I dropped Bethane, I made some play mistakes, but I think I was already disadvantaged at list choice, and he just ran me over.
I love Fiona.
Yeah, I know you do. And the thing is, you haven't been playing your Mercs. I haven't played Fiona in over a year.
Yeah.
And I just completely forgot how bad Wrath of Mercy boned my Bethane list.
Well, yeah. Jordan was like, I'm only playing Fiona today. I'm taking it easy. But you're not taking it easy. I'm from Madison. I know how good she is. You're not going to loan me any kind of
like, he sat down and he was like, you probably don't know anything Fiona does. I was like, no, I know what Fiona does. I haven't played against her in a year, and I've never played against her with Legion, so I don't know how I'm going to deal with her.
In a world with Excarnate and Carnivore and other such things, Wrath's Mercy is so good.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I Excarnate that guy. Nope. Wrath's Mercy kills this other guy. Or yeah. Wrath's Mercy kills the same guy.
Yeah. Because that's legal.
Yeah.
Yep.
So anyway, I got run over. And that was my tournament, because then I dropped and went and did other silly things.
Plus her feat is plus, functionally plus 6 defense, plus 6 armor, depending on what you're facing, because it takes out the spikes.
You had some good food to eat. They had the...
Ooh,
I did. There was
did
really
you get a horseshoe?
Sadly, no. No
did
horseshoes were eaten. Springfield's too far away.
No.
Oh, right, because Springfield and St. Louis aren't
not
the same
place. Not the
same
place,
joking aside.
So, unfortunately not. But there was a Knights of Columbus doing a barbecue, and they had pork steak, which I'd never had before, and is amazing. It's all the best things about pork
steak. Is that like milk steak?
High five.
Anyway.
I watched the Pepe Silvia scene today for no reason. I'm like, you know what? I need to watch the Pepe Silvia scene.
I put that on someone's Facebook page on Friday.
So maybe it was subconscious.
So that was my Saturday. I did not do well.
my
Sylvia. Sorry, it's going through my head right now.
This company's a goddamn ghost town.
In fact, it's not. They're all pissed off where their fucking mail is. They're going to fire us.
Good news is they're not going to fire us because they already fired us.
I said that shit halfway to Antarctica.
Let's just quote the whole series, starting from episode one.
All right. Well, the first episode is all about racism. So
that is true.
Which is just like
we already have that covered.
That fits right in.
So I'll go ahead and talk about my games quick. I ended up facing Stu. Stunami, if everyone doesn't know, he's an awesome guy down there.
He is very cool.
He had his Convergence Force out. He had Lucant and Centurion.
Centurion.
And I'm thinking, like, oh, yeah, I'll just take Durga Madhammer. That'll be good. And then, no.
No, that's not good.
No. No, that wasn't good. I also had some really, really bad dice rolls, and Stu just killed me.
I assume he Lucanted. And
yeah, he Lucanted. Yeah.
And then he won.
He Lucanted, and he had, what? I can't think of the name of the spell that he has.
D-cell?
D-cell.
Yeah.
He had good. D-cell, and he was standing on a hill.
Yeah.
And he was conveniently always
and he's 13 no inches away from me. And he has no knockdown shield guards. Like,
small point in there. I was going at him with the Earthbreaker. Or actually, I think with the Galleon at the time, I was going to harpoon him to pull him in. And I was hoping that if I would hit that he would use his shield guard. Because he only had one shield guard there at the time. On the other side of the table, I had Iris too. I'm like, please
use shield guard.
Use a shield guard. And he didn't. Because I missed. And then I tried with everything else, hitting everything else with big shots into him to try to get him to use the shield guard. He never used the shield guard. And he's like, Why'd you shoot me with the harpoon when you thought I could shield guard? I'm like, I was hoping you would.
Yeah.
He's like, man, yeah. I was hoping that he would just use it up so I could shoot his focus off.
Turns out Lucant's good.
Lucant is pretty good. So I lost to Deathclaw because I spent like 3 hours looking at the table trying to figure out what to do. My second match, I took Durga Madhammer. I was in the loser's bracket against Michael Dahmer. He had Irusk 1. Unfortunately, there was only one Widowmaker left on the table at the end of the game. And I didn't lose a single model.
Oh, jeez.
It was pretty horrible.
That is rough.
Yeah. My third game, since we both won in the loser's bracket, I ended up taking on Jordan Knack again.
Hey. He was just hitting the Madison people.
Yeah. He did the gauntlet. I don't know if he didn't face Brian at all, but...
No.
Face
spoilers.
Me. Spoilers. Oh, sorry. I had Drake McBain. He had Fiona the Black. I missed... put out my countermeasures. I should have put them out onto my Kayazi, and he just jammed forward into me. And
what did you put him on instead? Kayazis are built for countermeasures.
I put him on... I usually always put him on Boomhowlers.
Oh.
That's usually my go-to, because, you know, they're, you know, 4-plus tough. They're hard to get rid of.
Gotcha.
And I failed to kill off Eris, too, on the first turn, so... It was a decent match. It was, ended up going down to the final part, where... Chess clocked out again, but that was mine. Then I took the rest of the day off, and I had a lot of Slurpees.
How many is a lot, Andy, for our listeners?
I heard about these.
I had maybe 5?
That is correct. You had 5.
Hey, don't spoil. I peeked at some of our ZG questions. This might come up.
Oh, does it really? Yes. Hilarious. Yeah. Okay. I never pre-peek, so.
I don't usually, but I was on Facebook when they started popping up, and so I clicked, and I saw, like, the first 5 questions. I'm like, oh, better keep virginal.
Okay.
All right.
Too late.
I wanted to thank JR. He let us stay at his place. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So
that was neat. And we got to meet his wife and his dog, Onyx. And both of them are quite playful, Katie.
Yeah. I noticed you guys were playing a game.
We did. We go someplace. We take a picture of Terramisca. We always play Terramisca with the Star Convention out. And then I have to take Katie, so she's sad. That's what she gets for not coming along. She can
you
be playing Terramisca.
More conventions to play Terramisca.
I was confused. I saw you guys and a girl playing Terramisca. I'm like, Katie looks different.
it took me
a little bit.
I got my hair done.
Yeah.
So at the event,
I almost tagged you, actually.
Nice. Round one, I took on a Des Moines Cater player. He's actually really, he was a very friendly player who kind of came to have some fun. He didn't really know how to handle Xerxes' theme, so that game went very well for me. To summarize that game. Round two, I faced Stu. I was like, I must avenge Andy. And he dropped his Syntherion list with 6 heavies and 4 lights against Xerxes. And in one, I had probably my best featuring because I killed five heavies, one of them twice because it reconstructed. So I killed basically five and a half heavies under Zal's feet or Rasheth's feet turn. Xerxes' feet turn, which felt pretty amazing. I mean, I don't think Stu had the same joy that I was going through as I just broke heavy after heavy after heavy after heavy after heavy after heavy. And then a heavy.
You beat him so bad he got sick.
Yeah, and Stu got sick for the rest of the day. I'm not sure. So that went well. Round three, I faced Circle. I faced Crump, and it was in fire support, and he was playing E. Kruger. And I kind of mentally broke myself because fire support I hate. I'm having Circle problems, and I have problems with E. Kruger. So I didn't deploy proper. I lost the game, short answer. I didn't lose a scenario. Because I played well enough to not give him scenario points, but I didn't play well enough not to get killed. And I think I could have played better and also not had him win by scenario, but attritioned him. I just didn't. I gave him a dice roll to kill Tiberian, and he did. And, it happened because it was 50-50. I figured one stalk in Tiberian may or may not kill him. I mean, it's literally dice minus one, five attacks does exactly. If he hits every time, he does average every time. Yeah, 30 damage. Well, I'm gonna give him that because if that fails, he can't push Tiberian back. Tiberian's gonna for sure kill that thing.
Yep.
He's gonna score no points. His druids just caused. When he got up on me, he did start getting some ridiculous pushes and pulls and knockdowns. And he was spiking roll, but it did. I mean, his luck came in after the point. It was irrelevant. And when the game ended, I'm like, Crumpy,
it was insult to injury at that point.
Crumpy, you have 10 seconds to leave my sight. I mean, it was him, me, and Collins watching. We were laughing during the game, but it was just ridiculous. But I would play that matchup again with that same list, and I think I could do much better. Round four, I ended up facing, the Legion player from St. Louis. I suddenly forgot his name. He's a cool guy. Obviously, he's a cool guy, but I forgot his name. You got to play each list once, so I threw down, and if I played Xerxes, I get locked into Zal last round, but he's played his Veil list, so I know he's going to play Lilith 2 because he doesn't want to get locked in, so I decide to screw it and drop Xerxes anyway. So Lilith 2 versus Xerxes is pretty much not good for Lilith 2. He just got rolled. And then the final round, it was Zal versus Cool Kurt. It was a rematch of our hardcore from like 2 years ago, so he was bound to determine. He's like, if I don't beat you, if you kill Butcher, he threatened to flip the table on me because he was drinking a little bit. Just a little bit. Not normal Kukert drinking level.
No.
But it was basically the exact same rematch. It was all melee list versus all gun line Butcher list. And he moved up and I carved a path and killed Butcher again. I laughed.
He almost killed Butcher on a three or four camp with just Hakkar.
Yeah.
Hakkar left Butcher at like four health. And he's like, now I'll activate my last stand in Molot Karn. Hakkar wasn't even last standed.
Yeah. Wow.
Turns out Zol's not fair.
Katie, you're math. Do math.
I don't know who any of those things are.
You don't know what math is?
No.
Okay.
Just do some math. Let us know Excel. What happens.
I win.
You tell Katie to Excel.
Katie wins at Excel.
I win at Excel.
Hooray.
Yeah. I didn't win today at Excel. That was fun for me.
So I went 4-1, and I got fourth, and... It was okay, I guess. It was a fun day. It was a fun day.
I had fun.
The St. Louis crew was always great. Mm-hmm. The Iowans were down there. John came down. If he didn't play, we came down to say hi.
Yep.
There's a few from Chicago there. There's other places kind of scattered in. I mean, we went there because it's just fun to see those guys, and it was just to hang out and goof around. Tim Simpson's always great to see.
Yep.
Josh Saunders was there.
Yep.
Legal Tim gun. Simpson threatened me.
There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of
the whole time.
There's a lot of do you want to fight comments before the start of the event for no reason whatsoever.
No,
it's not a reference to anything, but there's a lot of do you want to fight me comments before the event. It was a pretty hilarious, like 5 minute weird spiel of nonsense.
AKA had to go and call Tim Simpson down because he was just laying out threats left and right.
Why?
He was so mean.
I'll explain it to you later, Katie. I will say that it was really cool to see Gators make the final table as well. Somebody did take a video. It wasn't Batty K, but somebody else got a video of the finals table. So that'll probably go up at some point. I don't know where.
Yeah, Adam Crump, the good Crump.
Older Crump.
I mean, yeah. He won a lot of tough games. He beat Keith, and then he almost beat Chad in the final. So it was pretty crazy. It was Malok and Rask. He was kicking both Malok all day.
Yeah, he never dropped Rask, he said. He said he played Malok all five games.
Oh,
he should have dropped Rask.
He dropped Rask once, but he said he played Malok four games.
Malok is awesome.
He was in the finals.
Oh, man. When I was doing our tournament league like a year and a half ago, Malok was awesome for that.
He had a chance to win. He got three Gators charging
with rerolls on Hunter's Grim Grim with no transfers.
Who?
And only one of them hit. Had two of them hit, he just straight wins that game.
Well, the second hit has a 1 in 3 chance of not killing him.
I suppose.
Because trolls.
That is true. But yeah, I mean, and then he had, and then that wasn't like, oh, and now I lose.
Right.
Then the next turn he got two or three Venoms and a Sac Pond Gator, a Sac Strike Gator.
Sure, sure.
Like, he legitimately just about beat
you. And that's against the Miserable Meatball.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Was Hunter's Grimlist.
It was Hunter's Grimlist because he played
the
Meatball.
The Hunter's Grimlist. Hunter's Grimlist, Chad can probably talk about this in the forums, but a bunch of Burrowers at Def 13 that jam up your entire line of Gators with whatever the Fel Call is where you
get knocked down.
You get knocked down.
It was
really bad for Crump. He was just like, this is terrible.
Yeah, Hero's Tragedy Chronicor. Yeah. That's a bullshit.
Well, on Burrowers.
Good thing, though, is in the future, it'll be harder to get that off on him.
It's true.
On the
not on Burrowers, it won't.
Burrowers?
No. I mean, well, a little bit.
But. Burrowers and Ev will be out of formation. Because they'll pop up and...
Well, his burrows were unburrowed for like four turns. They broke, right. And they just sat there broken and heroic tragedy, Hero's Tragedy, for like three turns. just in a line, blocking all the Gators.
Tell us the tale of the burrowers.
It was the tale of the burrowers. It was pretty interesting.
It's pretty ridiculous. So yeah, that was so St. Louis was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'd like to second the thank you to JR for letting us stay at his place.
Yep, and thirds. It was very fun.
Moving on.
His puppy Onyx is big dog for a little
while. Has a little bit of energy. A
little bit.
Very strong. It was great watching the dog run full tilt across the floor, jump onto the couch, and then watch the couch slide 5 feet.
That did happen. Repeatedly, in fact.
Yes.
Wow. Good times. Yay.
Yay, St. Louis.
Next up is, there was a thing on Friday that happened called the Aretha. Nothing too special on it, though, so moving on.
Yeah, it wasn't the, like, massive topic of discussion the entire day Saturday.
Huge deal. Pursuit no longer triggers off of things like Swift Hunter movement.
Pursuit?
Yeah.
No,
They changed Pursuit. Mm-hmm. And Pursuit no longer is if it advances during its activation. It says if it advances during the normal movement portion of its activation.
Oh.
So if you forfeit your movement in Swift Hunter, those 2 inches or whatever, you don't trigger Pursuit.
Okay, that's new.
That makes sense.
That's why I was in the errata.
Yeah. I knew that they changed Pursuit. I didn't realize that's what they did. Yeah. So
they added the normal movement section of it.
Yeah. So that's also cool.
The one that we found that was intriguing, though, was all the names being changed.
Pistoliers!
Yeah.
And Strider Rangers.
Pistoliers!
That was it, though. Otherwise, it was pretty boring errata.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty standard stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, if you face somebody with TK, just cluster a little tighter.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah. The entire internet is convinced that this just is the end of Infantry Machine and that you can't play Infantry and Command Rages are already terrible.
Most of the people at St. Louis were complaining were Crix players, so it's hard to feel too
sad.
It
was hilarious.
The one thing that's kind of interesting is that people are saying that because of the wording says an ability that could target friendlies can't target them if anybody's out of formation. And they're like, well, technically, I could cast Crippling Grasp on a friendly unit. So since Crippling Grasp could target a friendly, if your opponent leaves one guy out of formation, that unit is immune to Crippling Grasp because Crippling Grasp could target a friendly unit.
That's the intention.
Yeah, people are saying that, and then I just punch my computer.
And then the wrong... It is interesting that it has both the targeting or choosing.
Yeah.
I do like that because it means because there's a lot of things that don't target, like Rupert, that I'm glad it affects still, because otherwise it'd be really unfair to people that just have targeted abilities. But the fact that it's also choose is good. There are still things it doesn't affect.
Rupert
like
doesn't target anybody. Yeah.
He chooses.
Right, yeah.
But no. Necrosurgeons aren't affected because they don't choose or target. Nope. But it's still interesting to see the way that works.
I kind of wish that they would have had a change to if you target a model, that model has to be in formation.
I think a lot of people brought that one up.
Yeah.
It's something that's commonly been debated as a change.
But there's some bookkeeping issues with that.
There are.
I think.
Well, my favorite was one somebody brought up on the internet that I'd never thought about, which was, so you have your leader. He charges the enemy full bore by himself, leaving the rest of the unit out of formation because he runs and elicits like 14 free strikes or whatever, gets out of formation from the rest of the unit because he has Crippling Grasp on him. Then you kill him. Did Crippling Grasp just fall off the unit?
No.
Well, their point is, if it was worded the other way, you might have an argument for it. If they'd worded it that only the unit's information, blah, blah, blah.
No. I was saying when the when you cast a spell, right, normally you have to check to see if they're all in formation.
I'm aware.
To do that. What I'm saying is you check to see if the model you're casting the spell on is in formation with that unit.
Sure.
But what he's saying is, like, let's say if you do it that way, where you have to target somebody that's in formation, are the people out of formation still affected by it?
I would say no.
And so now what he's saying is the leader is all by himself 24 inches away from the rest of the unit. And the leader gets something put on him, and then the leader dies. Does that thing transfer over to the 20 other people now that you promote a new leader, or does it vanish into the ether? Because, you know.
Yeah, like, well,
that spell would already be on the unit.
But you said the rest of the unit's not affected only because they're out of formation. Only the one in formation is affected.
No, I was talking for specifically a friendly spell, like a friendly buff. Right. Like,
okay,
like,
so yeah, like, then you don't have that.
I'm not talking about offensive spells or offensive buffs.
At any rate,
Rinth made a good point where this as a side effect of this, it buffs 3-inch AoEs. Mm-hmm. It makes people more likely to bring jacks, mm-hmm. and it does all this stuff. And it's like, hey, that's stuff that people all wanted.
Yeah.
People I say about Praetorian Swordsmen are command 10 in Scorn, and Annihilators are command 7. Now there's another reason to have that command 10.
Yeah.
Now it means more. Also, I would love them to go even a step further. I would love a model out of formation to have no abilities. Oh, you ran your Bane Thrall out of formation. Now it is not no effects. No, you ran your
goddamn Stitch Thralls.
Or you ran your Stitch Thralls, or you run your
Rangers
out of formation, or you put.
I'd love to see Boomhowlers out of formation lose super tough. Even if they're still regular tough, I'd like them to lose super tough. They don't.
I would love a model out of formation to have no abilities.
Yeah.
I agree with that entirely. Some kind of effect. Like the same Bane Thralls where you're running them out just so you can get Dark Shroud on.
And I mean the thing is, people were talking about I actually heard about examples from my own faction that were things that I've never done and just never even thought about. They're like, well, the right way to play Hex Hunters prior to this errata was you leave one Hex Hunter standing in your deployment zone next to the Witch Doc Crocs. The Witch Doc Croc can just go zombify. And I was like, that's retarded. I've just taken my Witch Doc Croc out of the game if I do that.
As well as
non-insignificant. It's like almost 10% of the unit.
Yeah.
Like, that's just dumb. Like, I understand people get upset about Kator Arknode. I understand that trolls have a gazillion of these effects, and they're worried about it. I don't think it's a game-breaking thing.
The Primaxium dragging a multi-wound model or a model that probably passes a tough check out of formation to they're fucked as far as getting buffed on their turn is, okay,
hilarious.
You can complain about that one a little bit, but it's not the end of the world.
No.
Unless it already has countermeasures on it.
Fuck you.
That does amuse me quite a bit.
Yeah, that was just dumb play by me.
Get away.
The dumbest thing I did in my game against Andy was forget Lucant at home. Because as Andy just mentioned, Lucant's really good against Durgan.
Yup.
But I didn't have Lucant. Or I didn't have Durgan versus
whoever.
In general,
the dumbest thing you can do as a convergence player is leave Lucant at home.
That is a true statement.
Just the dice in here.
Look, that's terrible.
I do like the countermeasure troll that made the tough check from the harpoon.
They dragged him in,
and I think you hit him too, and he made his tough check.
No, he was 3 inches away because there was a wall there. It was 3 inches, a wall, and then 3 more inches. So I'm like, I'm 6 inches away. I'm just going to unload on these guys. I'm going to kill. You know, he'll tough with half of them, but I'll kill. I've got like 8 attacks.
Sure.
So first I'll go with the harpoon, drag 3 inches, hit the wall, pass tough, no more shots.
Well, that was fun for me.
You know, I could have at least started with the 3 Cella Spikers. Not so much.
You could have.
Hey, that's for next time.
Yes, that's for next time.
But yeah, I don't know. I'll have to see it on the table. Maybe it'll have some effects. I think that a lot of the people that are the most worried about it, it's not going to be that big a deal.
Hey, Sturm and Drain got better.
I just think
he's got TK.
He's got TK.
I know he does.
I really just think you just have to play it. I agree with what Thesea quoted as saying is that a unit of dudes is supposed to be a unit of dudes, not a constellation.
Because like think about it, like
factory,
the Quagmire thing. Like you love Carver and he's a great caster, but there's no reason you should be able to run 3 members of the unit to Quagmire half of their army.
I have never run a model out of formation.
I'm aware,
to, but yeah, I would, yeah, no, I know, I know. It's but, legal, but I mean, I'm just saying along the lines of this, I have never run a model out of formation to spread shit like Quagmire or the Ranger debuff or Dark Shroud. I've literally never done that.
I know, even when I played Crix in a standard rear, could be out of formation. I kept them in formation. I always kept formation rules.
Yeah.
In the
well,
thing.
That
I
one
never,
was changed though, but yeah, yeah. That was.
But yeah, even when I played Crix, I never had Bane Thralls running 20 inches away from each other to get the -2 debuff. I just didn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing is the Crix players were the ones that were most worried about it, and it was like literally the only thing they were worried about was getting Ghostwalk onto Mechanithralls. And I'm sorry, if the biggest problem with this errata is that you have trouble Ghostwalking your Mechanithralls, cry me a fucking river, you Crix playing assholes.
Yeah. Trolls have the bigger issue because, trolls, you know, anything that moves them and hurts them and they pass a tough check, then they can't get fell called the next turn. And yeah. I can, okay, yeah, that's
and
a
trolls
shame.
Already have a bit of a problem with don't touch my shit. Well, like it's already hard on them.
Trolls have issues too, is because they have the same leadership as everybody else, actively about 8 inches generally for most of them, and they also have huge bases. So the medium bases makes it hard for them to.
And they have musicians, but all the troll players are like, now they're going to target my musicians. Maybe.
So keep two more Creel Warriors there for the takeoff.
Yeah, take up. You have your officer.
You have a 6-point unit of 30 guys. Like you can keep two of them near the
maybe if they didn't have a list called Miserable Meat Mullen, I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them, but since they have like one of the most obnoxious lists in the game right now, they can also go.
Says the Xerxes player.
Which list is the Miserable Meat Mountain?
It's Egrissel.
Egrissel with Warder, Champs, Stone, Miserableness.
It's basically Fist of Hallock for trolls.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. It's so miserable.
But with a caster, can also do range stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's really, really good.
Her gun is scary.
Yep.
Now, if Zeus had that same gun, I wouldn't complain.
I would.
I hope that all Xerxes Tier Force players and all Miserable Moving Mountain players face each other in every round of every tournament from now on. I hate both of you.
Fair enough.
But yeah. So anyway, that was the errata. That was a thing.
How's our time doing?
We're doing fine.
So then we have time to discuss the hot off the press conversion rules of today. All because of Jeremy. Everything
I broke the internet.
Literally,
yay.
Jeremy's stinger that was converted broke.
Afflictor.
Your afflictor broke everything.
Afflictor broke the internet. And the best part, the sweetest cherry on top of that particular ice cream sundae is that based on the conversion rules they released, my model is legal. Like the whole thing started because of me, and my model is legal.
Yeah,
I tried to get clarification from Hungerford on the Private the Oppressed forums.
And he answered everybody.
Everyone else except me. He's like, I'm not touching that one. I could see the look on his face.
Well, the other one that I brought up in the conversation that we had about it prior to being released was Pagani's quadruped vectors. His heavy vectors all have treads from GW models.
And they're probably fine. As long as it's less than 50% of the model and all that kind of stuff.
Maybe.
That's
depends,
because
the thing is, depending on how good you are at recognizing things, you know that those are from GW models. So, are they indicative of the GW IP?
Right, that's the question. Like, it's a little vague the way it's worded. I do like the fact that you can still have, say, I wanted to have my ret painted in Patriot themed colors. Right. As long as I don't have the Patriots logo, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate that. I think that they were pretty good with the ruling. I think it is.
Well, the big example they brought up along that is. Everybody and their mother has Darkwing Duck as Gorman DeWolf.
Sure.
Like, there's 1,000 of those out there. Mine, that Travis did for me, literally has a duck bill.
Yep.
He molded a green stuffed duck bill onto him, so mine's illegal.
Yep.
But everybody else's are still legal.
Yep. So you just need to take a hobby knife
and just
cut off the bill.
No, just take a little piece of cloth and put a veil over him.
Yeah, all of Muslim Darkwing Duck.
Yes.
I do think it was funny that people were like, well, what if I put painter's tape over the symbols while I'm playing in a tournament? I was like, really? Are you really asking this question right now?
Well, they don't want to buy a new model, and they probably really like their model.
I don't know anyone whose entire army that would be considered illegal at this point.
I do.
I know someone who has multiple armies that are illegal at this point.
I was making a joke.
One interesting thing was Dan Garces from Milwaukee brought up the fact that his Futurama-themed team event army won best theme at Adepticon and is entirely illegal based on this.
Yep. Good thing he won while he could.
I guess so.
Like, I understand why.
But retroactive, I'm like, oh, yeah, they didn't DQ that at all.
Nope. Like, and that is the one nice thing about this ruling is before it was it felt very arbitrary what did or did not get DQ'd.
Yeah.
Now, at least, there's a reasoning and a logic behind it. There is some wiggle room, which I'm okay with. And it, like you said, somebody could theoretically still DQ my afflictor. I find it unlikely based on the ruling. But for the most part, it's much more clarified than because we feel like it.
Well, and I'm happy this came up because prior to discussing it and everything, it had never even occurred to me that the logic was IP issues.
Yeah.
That had just never even occurred to me as being the reasoning. You know, I thought it was just, you know, either it's not recognizable or, you know what, fuck GW, we don't want people giving them a nickel even if it's just for spare parts, like, which seemed petty to me. And so I was super happy to figure out the logic because the logic makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, they can't have, you know, well, the big example, Aduro's Necron army, I'm just going to mention it. It's his Krix army is Necrons. It is.
Well, it's intentionally made that
way. Intentionally, and it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it. You know, I'm being nothing negative about that army. But if he goes and wins War Machine Weekend, or if he goes and wins Gen Con Masters, they can't put pictures of those in No Quarter.
No.
They just can't.
They can't release a live stream with DC and somebody else from Privateer, you know, commentating on this finals game between Necrons and Dwarfs.
Yeah.
Like, they can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly the same way that GW handles theirs, too. It's like, if you have a beautifully painted army, but if it doesn't, if it includes parts from another IP, another company, they can't post it in the White Dwarf, or they can't post it online. You know, it's...
Yeah.
They can't really advertise for the competition, in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I think that there are some people that are going to be hit by this a little bit and hit in a financial way? Yes. Do I think that most of the conversions that are out there are going to be okay? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I liked the one guy's comment that was like, unless you think that you're going to get do really, really well in a PP tournament, like, you don't really have to worry about it.
Yeah, because local tournaments, no local TO is going to DQ your Aduro's Necron Krix.
No.
You know, he can play those in local games all day long. He can bring them over here and play local Steamrollers. It's fine. But if you're planning on playing in War Machine Weekend, if you're planning and playing the Iron Gauntlet, if you're going over to the WTC, if you're that level of player, you know that you need to. And at that point, I think you can scrounge up some standard Krix models.
Yeah.
You know, borrow an army or have a spares. Because most people don't even convert an entire army. Most people just have, like, their one caster. You know, like the example they had in the thing is, like, your E-Gatsby looks like Darth Vader. Okay. Yeah. You get into the War Machine Weekend qualifier, just go borrow somebody else's E-Gatsby.
Yeah, or like the one guy that's got he's got the WoW-themed army.
Yeah.
Most of his models are probably fine. He's got the only one that's definitely out is his Pythagrosh is like very, very clearly a WoW character.
Yeah.
And so it's just the Pythagrosh that needs to be replaced. Yeah. And that guy even said he'll probably replace the Wings on his Angeliuses because they're technically kind of recognizable as a GW wing, which is fine, whatever. But I like it's not like his whole army is DQ'd.
Right.
And the other thing is, and this is where I think Aduro was the most upset about it, and I don't blame him because this is something that's important to him, is like the painting competitions. Of course, a competition about painting, they want to be able to post the pictures, and of course they can't post pictures of things that look like they're from GW or look like they're from Star Wars or look like they're from
Malifaux.
Like they just can't. They can't do that. And so if aside from competition, if your goal is to win the, I forget what's it called, the Iron Painter Award or whatever, like, sorry, it needs to be not recognizable as someone else's IP.
A lot of people have brought up fair use. Like, technically, like, if they put pictures of these in there and GW or Star or Lucas, whoever complained, Privateer Press could say, hey, this is fair use. We can do this. And they'd technically probably be legally correct, but it's just not worth the headache.
No.
Like, as we just mentioned, I think we were recording. Maybe we weren't recording by net, but, you know, GW successfully, for now, sued someone for having Roman numerals. You know, King Games sued somebody for having the word saga in a Viking story, which look up Viking story in the dictionary. It's called a saga. You know, so, like, yeah, it's just not worth the headache to them. It's just not worth the nightmare.
No, it's not. And that makes perfect sense to me, and I'm personally much less frustrated than I was by the what felt to me at the time as kind of an arbitrary DQ on my model.
I'm happy that the why is out there.
Yes, I think and I think they addressed it well, and I think that the thread started to explode a little bit, which is why they locked it, and I'm fine with that. But
90% of people aren't affected by this.
No. Generally not. I mean, some of the hardcore conversion people.
Right.
They'll be affected.
If you're a hardcore conversion person and a top level player, you are affected by
this. Or a good enough painter that you want to enter a painting competition.
Yes, good point. Yeah. Good point.
Those let's not leave that out because converters are often good painters.
Yep.
I will say though, my conversion, my tools and my job, I will make sure that if you hire me as your conversion person, I will make sure that it fits all the rules.
Yeah.
Well, and the except thing is, for one, you put one subtle thing in every model.
Just one.
Yeah, he hides it. It's like an Easter egg.
Yeah.
Finally gets his model decued in 10 minutes or less.
Oh, no. I'll wait until I face that person with that model, and then I'll point it out to the judge.
That was my favorite, was people are like, I'm going to be sitting in a tournament, and somebody's going to be like, that's a thing from GW that I remember from Iron Dwarf 23, and I'm going to get him decued so I can win. No one's doing that.
Yeah, you know who at that table is going to get yelled at by the judge? It's not the guy that you're pointing at.
Nope.
I just need to double check if there's anybody out there who has an IP on Golden Pirate Robots.
Because
if somebody has that IP, I'm fucked.
Yeah, I like that the Sickle and Hammer came up so much.
Yeah.
That was an interesting segue. Somebody brought up the American flag.
I think they look too much like C-3PO. Your whole army looks way too much like C-3PO. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I probably need to do one more darker wash.
Yeah, at least. Or if you want to go like complete and just put some black maid outfits on them too.
I don't know why, but okay.
No, I'm going to
put French maid outfits. Oh, okay. No, but I'm going to keep the 3PO. They're going to be golden pirate robots with a French maid costume on.
No, I was going for Spaceballs.
Oh, Spaceballs,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That works too.
Actually, hers is gold, isn't it?
It is gold. She just has the apron.
Never mind. But if there was an entire army of Rosie the Robots, would be freaking awesome.
That would
awesome,
be amazing.
Though.
Actually, an entire
it's just that head with the.
So anyway, the internets, they exploded.
Next, so we had our contest.
We did.
Should we just name the four winners and then we're
yeah, let's like throw them all out there.
So we had people submit a bunch of ideas. We're only going to bring
I guess
up one.
Way the winners will know.
Yeah, we'll get the winners so that we can get their get their information.
They
got to
email us or Facebook us their address. So these
I would
these,
not recommend Facebooking.
Yeah, I would email.
No, just Facebook. Not
or like a PM.
Oh, like a PM.
No, sure, not Facebook a PM. Just public. Yeah, just publicly post your information.
Put your address, your phone number. We need your social security number. Mother's maiden name and a credit card number.
Also the school
and three digits in the back.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Also, your high school name, the school you grew up on, as well.
And your first bet.
Yes.
One of the jobs I was applying for, their background check people, they called me because they needed some information. They needed to know the exact date I graduated from high school, like day specific. I'm like,
what?
I don't fucking know. Like, I think it was 1997. You figure it out.
Yeah, I would have trouble to come up with it. It would take me a little while to come
I can
up with
tell
the
you
year.
The month and the year.
Yeah.
That's
it's going
to
be early.
To
and month, no, they needed the exact date.
So did you just pick one?
No, I'm like, oh, sure, I'll look into that. Oh, look, I accepted a different job. Bye. All right.
So our four winners, and I will go over their actual, there we go. We'll go over their different things, their suggestions. We'll do one today.
We don't have to say what the suggestions were. We can just name their names.
Well, yeah. So Jeremy Caulfoot, our local person, had a good idea.
We don't need his address.
Thomas Kasturin,
I think.
Jesus.
Richard Kammer. Coomer.
Wow.
Wow. Thomas Custer Calhoun. Richard K. Hammer.
And David Brewertuin.
Brewerton. God damn it, Brian. And for the record, both Thomas and Richie emailed us their entries.
He's Richie now?
It's Richie Kammer.
You said Richard.
I know. He's an idiot. And
don't call Richie an idiot. God, Richie, I'm sorry. I liked your
Thomas
ideas.
And Richie emailed us their submissions, and David posted his on Facebook.
Okay.
So just so you, you couldn't tell whether that was your name,
and
because Brian read it.
And Jeremy Caulfoot is a local.
Yeah, we already said Jeremy Caulfoot's a local.
Yeah.
So we're going
to Richie Custard Hammer. Was
Richie
that his name?
Richie Custard Hammer. He's also a Pokemon character.
just goes split.
Be sure to email
Richie
and Facebook
using us. Custard Hammer. It's mega effective.
Be sure to email and Facebook us in the future so we can mock your name.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, to be fair, his name's Custard Hammer.
And we've corrected Nack's name now, so we really have to like move on to someone else's.
It's pronounced Nuke.
Can we have Swedish joke?
Oh, by the
Muslim
way, we have to stop calling Jews Hitler. They really get offended.
Yeah, it turns out that's really offensive to Jews, Nathan.
What?
You called him the Hitler of War Machine. You do know he's Jewish, right?
That's what makes it funny.
No, it's actually, not.
No, it's not.
It depends who you're asking whether or not it's
Do you remember
funny.
That he has a really, really good memory?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
So, it's fine.
All right.
that was
my attempt to get an apology.
Like a pseudo-apology?
That was my attempt for apology, Jordan.
Both Brian and I apologized for you.
Yeah.
I gave him a Bart hat and loaned him the best Godzilla movie. That's all the apology.
Oh,
the,
okay,
Had
I known to be given that movie, I would have told them to shut the fuck up and watch it. That would have been my response. Well, anyway. So, David Brewerton.
Hey, you got it.
I paused internally. We're going to go over his suggestion first.
For this week.
This week. Yeah, a couple of the other ones, they're all good, but some of them required us to like think about it more.
Yeah.
And his is also thinkable, but we can probably make it up much faster. His question is, how different would our lives be had War Machine and Hordes never existed? So that was.
Were you going to start, Brian?
No. Nathan's going to start.
I would have a completely different circle of friends, obviously. I know all of you due to War Machine.
Nope.
Not a single one of you did I know prior to this.
Well, yes.
You added what? No. You have an adjustment to that?
I might have bumped into you at a board game thing, like at one of the game stores.
Oh, yeah.
Theoretically, might have been the only way.
Yeah.
Or that one club we go to.
Didn't you used to play 40K?
I played 40K in 1994.
Okay.
I was 8.
Well done. Yeah, no, I played
math, Katie. Good job.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't know. Like, literally all of my current... Like, I have my a half dozen high school friends that none of them live in this area, so I Facebook with them. But my entire social circle here, and then all the people, like, based on cons and based on the podcast and stuff like that, like, 95% of my current social group is all War Machine.
Well, Jim stopped playing War Machine. He's pretty much
100%. He's dead to us.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Hey, he's on another podcast.
I know. Well, yeah. But, I mean, in general, he's stopped our hobby, and like you said, that's
so
our primary social.
So he's the Katie
of that podcast? Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. We'll have to exchange notes.
So, Katie, any other comments?
Not really.
Katie, no. You just would not be here.
Not be here. I do wonder if, because, I mean, now with all the stuff going into, like, the judging and the PG and stuff like that, that's a lot of my the spare time. I do wonder, because prior to War Machine, and especially since the War Machine here was on Wednesday nights, I did a board gaming thing on Wednesday nights with Justin, who does Fridays and whatnot. And I wonder if I would have stuck more to board game design and stuff like that. Like, I had a buddy who at the time had gotten hired by Fantasy Flight Games and things like that, so I just wonder if I'd gone down that track, like, if I would have been as tight with some game company as I am with Privateer Press. I have no clue, because between like Brett Meyer and some other people like that, I actually know several people in the industry.
So basically what you're saying is it's probably good you didn't, because you'd be making even less money.
That's true.
In that field.
Yeah, I'd be, yes.
If there's one field that has so much glory to do, but is insulting in pay,
yeah,
it's a board game designer.
The best case scenario is that I got published and I made 17 cents on some board game because Steve Jackson like stole the IP from me. Yeah. Like, that's the best case scenario when you go down the route of mercenary game design.
I wouldn't know anybody here. I would probably
still know me.
Oh, yeah, you.
Which could she still handle you if you have other people in your life?
The world may never know.
I probably would still play a lot of Candy Crush. Probably still play a lot of board games. I would party a lot more.
I don't know if you would play board games, because we played a few board games, the two of us, before you met the War Machine crowd.
I really liked Trains. And
you did like Ticket to
Ride.
You
told me that you wouldn't play Settlers with me anymore because I just ruined the game for you by not letting you win.
You convinced both of the other players to play 3v1 every time we played Settlers.
That's because otherwise they couldn't handle the concept of not just letting someone win.
So as long as it was you, it was okay.
Yeah.
No, she didn't even care if it was her. She would throw the game to one of them. She would literally be like, all right, so Jeremy will win unless the three of us get together and work together. You get to win this time. How about the three of us make sure that happens and Jeremy loses? Like, that would be the conversation at the beginning of every game of Settlers.
That encourages them to want to play Settlers some more.
I want to play Settlers now.
Got really, really pissed at me.
Yeah,
he told me he was never playing that game with me again.
I did.
Good job. Because, you know, Settlers.
You've been trying that for years with War Machine.
I got a method for you.
And for the record, I did not say Jordan was the Hitler of War Machine.
You did.
You did.
That's exactly what you said.
No, I said that he was the second most horrible person in War Machine, so him playing against, I forget who the worst person was, would be like Hitler and the devil fighting.
That is true. Yes.
That's not quite the... It's an
it's
analogy.
The same thing.
I like Jordan. I'm going to go on record and say, Jordan, I really, really like you. You're a good guy.
Better than Hitler?
I like you better than Hitler. Although, I mean, Hitler, he outlawed smoking.
Oh, my God. No, stop.
All right, we're done. Okay.
Back to Katie.
I had a really good joke the other day in the car.
You had a good joke?
Brian?
Man, I can't. You did. I can't remember the exact horribleness of it.
I remember, but it was terrible, and I'm not repeating it.
Oh yeah, you, I made me pause. It was yesterday. That you was, said the other day. It was yesterday. So I.
That was the best space that I've ever gotten from you.
She gave Brian a mini stroke.
She just said something terrible.
It was,
and
it was too terrible to re-utter.
Wow.
I think I know what he looks like when he comes.
But no. My official stance is
that would make three out of this room that know that.
Jordan is not as bad as the rest of you guys say he is.
Wow. What a bitch.
Wow.
No, I like him. I don't care what you guys say.
Just turn off Nate's microphone. All
right. Whatever. But anyway, I would, because you guys don't really party that often, and before
because you're a, yeah. Hi, my name's Rod, I like to party.
Hey, my name is Rod, and I like to party.
My name's Buck. I like to party.
But like, the intelligence of my friends has gone up.
But their ability to crush a beer can on their forehead has gone down.
Yeah.
Does it have to be empty?
It usually was.
That's not as impressive. I want a full Foster's can.
Wow.
Anyway, the point being, I wouldn't know any of these guys.
That's true, you would not. Let's see, how would my life... My life would be very different. I had never played miniature games before this, so I, if my buddy hadn't convinced me to play War Machine, I would not play miniature games at all. I would probably be more into Ultimate Frisbee and in better shape than I am. Because that was what I used to do in my spare time before I met you guys.
Now you have a tum-tum.
And now I have a tum-tum. So
now we both have tum-tums now.
Yeah. So, you know, it's your, it's your guy's fault.
I should sue Privateer Press.
You guys probably have seven dogs in puppy class every hour of the day. You get off of work and just go after the good dog class with some dog, take it home, take the other dog to dog class, and just constantly.
Like, it's
loop.
Funny you say that, because I was thinking about this in preparation for the question. I don't know that we'd have as many pets as we do, because, like, part of it is Katie really enjoys having the dogs around because I'm distracted by, like, War Machine. I'm going off on Wednesday nights, which she doesn't always do. Like, I don't know if we'd have as many pets as we do if I didn't play War Machine. Like, Katie and I would, like, go – instead of me going to a tournament, Katie and I would, like, go hiking or camping or something on the weekends. Like, our lives would be very different.
We used to play tennis a lot.
We used to play tennis a lot. Like, I was actually in legitimately good shape before I met you guys.
You used to go running.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking that I would live much longer than I'm going
it
to.
It wasn't just meeting us. You moved to Wisconsin.
No. This was all while I lived in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Wow, so you were freaks.
I will say, I was like, man, Jeremy doesn't look as good as he was when he first joined our group. He looks wore down and just broken a little more.
It's not marriage. It's War Machine.
You're welcome.
We might not be in Wisconsin anymore.
Probably not.
My friend Mary probably would have convinced me to move to Illinois.
Yeah,
and if he didn't
to Milwaukee?
Yeah, Milwaukee.
There was actually a period of time where we very seriously we were like, maybe we'll just move. Like, it was before around the time I met you guys. It was like before I met you and when I first met you guys.
Somebody shoved your caster to Twinkie and you're like, let's move. Let's get the fuck out of this place.
And I think it would legitimately, our lives would be very, very different if it weren't for War Machine.
Yeah, because all of my girlfriends live in Illinois still.
Yep.
So.
And like, yeah, it's...
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about.
And something with life, like you know, you have your like high school friends and stuff, and then you kind of have a second phase of friends as you get older. And so, regardless of like who quits War Machine or keeps playing War Machine, you keep some high school friends. I know Andy just gave a look to Brian, whatever. But you kind of have several phases.
Some you can't get rid of.
Some you can't get rid of, whatever. But like, we're at that point in our life, like the late 20s and the 30s and 40s for some of us. Like, we're going
to die soon.
These are kind of the bonds that are going to last forever. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm going to know some of the people from War Machine. I'm going to know when I'm 80. Like,
yeah. And this is one of those things, like, I lost track of my college and high school friends both really, really quickly after I graduated. Like, at this point, War Machine's one of those things where I, even though I've only been doing this for 2 years, I've traveled enough and we've got, like, that collective shared, like, consciousness that if I for some reason had to move, like, Epic shuts down tomorrow and I have to find a new job and, well, Madison has nowhere else to work for someone in IT, so I move, like, I would still plug into the War Machine crowd. I would still know all of these people. I would still, like, War Machine would be that community whenever I moved somewhere new.
Right.
Which is weird to think
about.
Also,
I still talk to all of my high school, well, I shouldn't say all my, a majority of my high school friends I still talk to.
Some people grow
not like
past that.
Not like Facebook friends, but like actual.
But you are, I think you are unusual in that.
And when you say the majority of high school friends, I wonder, like, what, like, you have tiers of friendship. I mean, you had a social group when you were in high school that probably had a larger number of people that a subset of them you considered, you know, capital F friends or whatever. And so...
Yeah, well, I had... there was, like, 10 of us, and half of us will no longer talk to me. So I still keep in contact with the other half.
Sure. So you have five high school friends you still talk to.
The majority.
And what I'm saying is, like, you had more than 10 friends when you were in high school. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But time goes by the community, so fast. I'm saying. So it's like you see Kristen, you know, you're like, I'll see her again, but then like 9 months later. It's just and that just as you get older, it's you know,
it
like,
gets longer.
The time gets longer. Remember when I hung out with Kristen 6 years ago? That was so good. And then you
Yeah, like I was talking to my best friend from college, my college roommate. Like, he's in the same apartment complex my brother's moving into that just graduated college. And so he was helping him move in, and my dad sent me a picture of, like, here's your college roommate and his wife, who I've met. And, oh, by the way, their daughter, who looks like she's, like, 4. And I was like, I've never met his daughter because we haven't gotten together since his daughter was born, which was, like, 4 years ago.
Right.
Wait, you got that math right. I'm very proud of you.
She looks 4 years. Hooray!
Hey, even I can math that.
Well,
so anyway, like, it was kind of a shocking moment for me. That was just this weekend that he sent me that picture. I was like, wow, holy cow.
It's like our friend Chris. I wish I saw him, I wish I could hang with him like once a month, but I only see him like twice a year, and it sucks.
And one of those is Gen Con.
Yeah. And he only lives like 90 minutes away. It's not like he's, you know, on the moon or like in Colorado. He's like 90 minutes or less.
I guess all I'm saying is there's a difference between, like, your social circle, and then there's some elite parts of that circle you consider friends. Well, like, I could name 50 people I'm friendly to that I know because of War Machine. Like, I guarantee I could name 50 War Machine players right now that I would high-five and split a beer with if I saw them at a convention. Sure. But if I stopped playing War Machine right now, I probably would have contact with a dozen of them going forward. You know, but that doesn't mean that the others aren't. Yeah. You know,
that makes sense.
Well, it's a lot of,
and that's what I'm saying towards the high school thing. You know, you have like all these people that you know and you see at parties, and you know you're both on the cheer squad, or you're both on the chess club, or whatever your thing may be. Well, but there's only a half dozen that are actually your friends.
It's funny that we're talking about this because I have a cousin. My mom was like, I don't know why she never made any friends, and I said it's because she never put in the time. Like in high school, it took me a year to make friends and have like that social group, and when I was in college, it took me 2 years to make friends and have that social group. When I moved here, it took me 4 years. It just, like, doubles each time how long it takes you to connect with people that you actually have something in common with.
There's an earthquake upstairs. That's why you got quiet. Yeah. At first, I thought one of you guys was farting, and then I realized it was coming from upstairs.
But you know what I mean? Because you, like, it's a because you have all these convenient, like, I'm your friend because it's convenient.
But that is a nice thing about having a hobby like this. Wow. Wait, so, I like that you pointed at Jeremy.
I'm your friend because it's convenient, and she was pointing at you, Jeremy.
It would be inconvenient not to be your husband's friend. That is true.
It's true. It'd be very inconvenient. But you know what I mean?
But what Jeremy, that plugs into kind of what Jeremy was saying about, like, if he moves or if Epic shut down or whatever, is when you have a hobby that is this widespread or whatever, it allows you kind of instant acquaintances at the very least. Yes. Like, anybody could come to Madison on a Wednesday and be friendly with 20 people.
Yep.
And a few months later, you can be actual friends with some of them.
And those of us that travel to cons, it's even more so.
If I had to move for some reason somewhere, and I had to move between like three places, I would definitely, one of the top things I'd do is which area has a War Machine community. Yep. You know, then that would be probably a high tiebreaker in where I would move to.
And like, I'm not even a PG and I'm saying that. And you guys are like PGs and judges. Like, you guys are really tied in. Like,
I personally just like the community. The community in general is really what ties me.
Except for those St. Louis bastards.
Yeah.
There's some video that's been going around Facebook the last couple weeks, this thing called, like, Look Up or whatever. I don't know if any of you saw this or whatever. And it's this video that's basically chastising the social media age where none of us really make contacts with human beings. We just look at our phones and tweet and whatever. And every time I see it and it passes the Facebook, I just get so fucking angry at this person because it's such a load of bullshit and it's so pretentious and asinine to devalue the friendships, you know, that we have, because social media, like, it's easy and it's pandering and it's popular to badmouth social media because it seems impersonal, like, especially when you have, like, people at dinner and, like, three of them are on their phones or whatever. But there are so many people that I care about that I get to communicate with every fucking day. And, like, they have this little video that goes with this guy doing this poem. I'll post it on the thread or whatever so people can vomit rage towards it like you should. But, like, they have a video. They show, like, this woman. She's, like, with four friends, and she's, like, pointing, and they're enjoying this hike, and it pans over the view, and the hand's back, and she's actually alone, and she's just, like, tweeting a picture of it. That's awesome. She just got to share that fucking sunset by tweeting it or Facebooking it with all of her friends and loved ones. Because you know what? They couldn't fucking be there because they live someplace else. And it just makes me so mad, the people who... That doesn't count. That's not real friendship. That's not real social circle. That's not real acquaintances. Screw you.
It's the same thing as writing to a friend with a letter, yeah, but it's going there instantly.
Yeah.
I will say that it's a little bit different because there are some people that I talk to online, but when I see them face-to-face, we don't have the same kind of relationship that we do online. Then the other thing that's also weird is when I see somebody that I don't talk to that often in person that I'm friendly with, like War Machine people that are from out of town would be a good example, and I tell them about them, they're like, I know, I saw it on your Facebook page. It's very strange to me.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's a little jarring, I would say. It's a little weird. I don't think that it's not worth anything.
Yeah.
Because you can keep in contact with these people. It's just a weird, like, it's just a weird thing.
But some people, I do agree that some people devalue it.
Just because they do. It's trendy to devalue it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's Foursquare, because that's stupid. But other thing,
yeah. But I'm mayor of this, of my group.
You haven't heard my
Foursquare. Are you mayor of family?
Nathan, you weren't there. So, speaking of Foursquare, I said Foursquare is dumb, and I believe Foursquare is dumb. I've installed Foursquare because I'm on a month-long troll of somebody. I have a coworker whose friends, who has a friend with this lady, and her husband is all about Foursquare. And he's very, very proud about being the mayor of various places. He happens to be the mayor of the video store next to where I live. So when I get up in the morning, I can like log, I can turn on or get home from work and just like click on my phone, click a button, I check into the video store.
You're close enough to check into the video store.
So within a month, I'm going to overtake him as the mayor. And they already know the way he is. Like he's going to log into his phone and sees that mayor. He's going to like lose it. So it's really sad to me that someone's like that, but I get to like do this like once a month, once a day troll someone.
Well, the best part is you don't remember the guy's name.
Yeah, it's like I've met him twice.
Is he a Legion player from St. Louis?
No, he's a hipster, but he's like Alex is on the right side of kind of fun hipster. He's kind of on like the douchey side. He's the hipster you don't like.
Yeah.
So I don't feel bad with this. My eventually troll.
That explains why he likes Foursquare if he's a hipster.
Yeah. But I'm slowly catching up to his him.
Yes, yeah. Does Alex use Foursquare?
Alex probably is.
He probably does.
Checked in everywhere.
Yeah, here's the thing about that's weird online is people speak to me differently too. Like I have a coworker that instant messaging me over GChat, and she says really silly things over GChat that she's never said to me in person. Like she said, "Are you ready to go, spaghetti?" That's weird, right?
Yeah, yes. It is weird. Wait, that's not even why wouldn't she say ready spaghetti?
Maybe she did that. I don't know.
Okay, that makes more sense because at least that's an old lady rhyme that I've heard.
But she's never said anything like that to me in person.
Gotcha. But yeah, like so it's if just you take weird. It, if you have this persona and you act unnatural, if you take it to extreme, like needing to be mayor of family video, that's one thing. But just to chastise the whole thing and say that's not real, whatever.
I don't think you can help but have a little bit of a persona because you put your best self forward. So like people online probably think I'm just like a dog lady. Because I just put pictures of my doggy on.
Well, you go to class 70 times a week. So but other than that.
Online, people probably think I'm really good at geography.
Yeah. No. You can Google it before you post.
Nobody knows.
But you know honestly, what I mean? Like, I'm not going to put on there, like, man, I had a really shitty day today. Or I did a really crappy job. Like,
that one picture. The picture that you use for your photo, your avatar, looks like you just took like a dump and is trying to squeak away.
Well, I didn't pick that video, to be fair. Ryan requested that Katie find the worst picture of me she could, and they put that up. It's literally the worst digital image my wife could find.
But at this point, like, you could have changed it so many times.
The problem is I just don't think about it.
And his cover photo is the best ever, so easy to
always. I'm never, ever changing that cover photo. It's amazing. The Pop-Tart cat on the rainbow.
I no longer just randomly post things on his page. I wish he would.
Well, he uses it now. So as soon as he started using it, I started logging in randomly and make random posts.
I know. It's a sad day.
It is sad. I'm always tempted to, but it was more fun when we could do it when it wasn't really him. But
you know who's possibly going to be getting onto Facebook soon?
Who?
Jim. we've done enough talking about it in the last podcast and that he's thinking, he's like, oh, maybe I should. Because we have so many board game days that he misses out or any kind of event.
I have to remember to text him when I have a party.
Yeah. And if he had Facebook, if he just used it for the notifications.
He lives a block away from me and he might as well be dead.
You could live within easy walking distance of each other.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we never
said. If you're in Facebook, you'd be hanging out probably four times a week.
Absolutely.
Well, it's like, the thing. But so, it's ridiculous.
We may have segued slightly.
Yeah.
I don't know where the topic was.
I guess,
it's Annie's turn.
Damn it.
Annie's turn.
You'd still be playing Warhammer, you horrible, horrible
I would
person.
Probably still be playing Warhammer. If War Machine didn't exist, I did play Warhammer through like the first couple of years of War Machine existing, on the silent hope that the game would still be good. I don't know if I would be playing War Machine after the last edition of Warhammer, 8th edition. I think I might have actually...
You mean messed up Warhammer after 8th?
Warhammer after 8th edition. I might have actually moved on to a different game at that point.
Starship Troopers?
Well, I might have tried out like Malifaux or gone with War, whatever it is, or some of those other different games. I'd probably still be a lot more heavier into Blood Bowl.
Yeah, that was the thing I thought of with you, is you'd probably play a lot more Blood Bowl. Yeah,
that's what I started off with. Is I went when I was in the Army, I went down to the game store. Somebody said, "Hey, here's this undead team. They play football." I'm like, "Oh, really? Okay." And then I play Blood Bowl, and oh, that's awesome. And I'm like, "Oh, here's this army that you can get. It's like Blood Bowl, but it's bigger."
And they fight for
and
real.
They fight with like huge armies. Like,
so you got into Warhammer from Blood Bowl, not the other way around?
Correct.
That is hilarious.
That is hilarious.
That is wow.
I got our group was really against the idea of miniature games. We me and Andy in our group, we would do board games, we would do role playing, but we were like, miniature games just cost too much.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That was our initial.
You would draw maps on the table and we would just have something just to represent us. We never used miniatures.
Yeah,
miniatures
was never going to. We played Battletech the board game. It came with a little plastic chits. We never considered buying the miniatures. We just were happy with the plastic chits.
Right.
With the cardboard stand ups. Yeah. Yep. Oh, man. Battletech days. Oh, so good. And we probably would be more into like Blood Bowl Battletech still.
Yeah, because we were already in a board game. So that's why I think we might have bumped into Nathan, because, I mean, we already board gamed a lot. I would probably have a million. Our characters into various MMOs all max level. I probably would have put more time in video games. I played fantasy for 10 years before. I did the overlap too, where the last year and a half I did both, but I just kept getting more and more unhappy with one system and more happy with the other system. So if this didn't exist, I was already, I mean, towards the end, I was unhappy enough to try something else out. I might have just been desperate to tried 40K.
Is it too much Schadenfreude that I smile every time I see somebody saying that they're really excited about the new edition of 40K? They're like, "Oh, it looked promising." I'm like, "Oh, you were so obviously lying to yourself."
It depends.
Stockholm Syndrome's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I've said this every single time, is if you're playing with the right group of people, the game is fun. You can make any game fun if you play with the right group of people.
Yeah, Tic-Tac-Toe's great if you're drunk and with buddies.
Sometimes Raffle is good if you play with the right people.
Raffle is never. Raffle. Raffle is never good.
James says it was good, though.
James is a dirty liar.
I'd probably be playing more role-playing games, too. That wouldn't have died.
Yeah, I mean, there's like the Whispering Vault, I think you were... You're getting into too. I mean,
is that slang for a vagina?
No. to give some hint to history into Brian and I, we've known each other since like the late 80s. So we've probably dabbled in each other's hobbies.
Quarter of a century.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Dabbled in each other?
No. No dabble each other. No.
Wrong number.
But we've done a lot of like D&D, advanced D&D, and
S&M.
Yes,
advanced S&M
with my Thacko.
Thacko, I miss Thacko.
Thacko was fine.
I love when you talk. You tell the right person you like Thacko, that is like they'll like immediately go into like a
rage.
It's funny. And I don't understand because it's just a chart. It's just a guide. I don't get why people are so angry about. Hey,
I need to know what number I need to hit.
People understand negative numbers,
but it's like if you say dice minus whatever as slang for doing damage in War Machine, people are like dice minus and flipped out. It's like it's just a guide.
I used to really understand Thaco so well, and then I recently loaded up Baldur's Gate 2. They had like for the Christmas sale, and I've been playing it lately. And it's like Thaco, god damn it, is higher better or is lower better? Like I don't remember what I'm doing.
2 hit armor class 0.
I know.
Lower's better, but then it gets a negative. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Man, old school D&D was great. I remember like a first level wizard had a like 80% chance of dying if a house cat slapped him.
No, they had D4 health points.
They had D4 health points.
Yeah. Some so NPCs had more one. Health.
Well, that's the thing is like you had D4 health points, which wasn't 4. You made your character, you rolled that D4 and crossed your fingers. So number one, you might get 1, 2, or 3 hit points. And a cat did like... It did 2 or 3 damage. So like, there's like an 80% chance of a wizard like just... Meow! Dead. New character.
Old school D&D was
good. Old D&D.
Indeed. Yeah, so that was a good... That was, so we liked that. That was one of our top questions. That one got, I think, the most... Actually, that was in the was that the most votes? Or
no,
most?
That was no. We had the
one with the most votes is the one that immediately after you saying that everyone was like, I didn't vote for that.
Yeah, which is funny because I had to prove to them that they did. So
no, I didn't vote for that.
Was Jeremy's.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
well, Kofoot had the most.
Kofoot had the most. So Kofoot's got four. The other three winners all had three of the five of us vote for it. Out of picking, we each picked our four or five favorite. And then when I mentioned that there were three votes for one of them, and they all were like, "I didn't vote for it." I was like, "Well, two of you did. I don't remember which one."
Who didn't vote for Kofoot? Kofoot needs to know who hates him.
No, we all voted for.
No, only
no,
four
he had
of us
four
did.
Out of five.
Oh no, I voted for the other guy. I didn't vote for Kofoot.
Oh. Should we know? We also have when we do our Zappy Grumble shortly. We should
do them fairly quick
because we had a couple people from the contest submit questions we thought were more qualified for.
We can Zappy Grumble, but not this week.
We'll do it next week.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll just do these Zappy Grumble.
I like the duck question,
but I already know my answer for the duck question.
Okay, all right. What's the answer? What's the duck question?
Would you rather fight a bunch of ducks?
Who would win?
No, it's which would you rather fight?
Oh, which would you rather fight?
So you don't have your answer anymore. It's changed.
Taco.
It's
changed. A taco.
Yeah, would you like to fight a horse-sized duck?
Or a bunch of duck-sized horses.
Yes.
A bunch of duck-sized horses, because you don't want a horse-sized duck.
That's one big
ducks bill. Are mean.
The bill's not what I'm worried about. Yeah. Ducks are nature's rapists.
Also, if it was like a swan, they can kill you with their wings. They're not even horse-sized.
Swan can't kill you with your wings.
Yeah, he can.
No, that's a myth.
That's not a myth. I'm going to Google it right
you
now.
You Google it. That's a myth. I guarantee it. You cannot be killed. Swan smacks you with its wings are going to break. They're hollow. Its bones are hollow so they can fly. It doesn't matter how big an empty straw is. It's not going to kill you if it hits you.
Wait.
I could fuck a duck or a swan up easily. I would just
beat
the
shit. Well, yeah, you
just
take the neck and swing it, and then
I will
it
stand
breaks.
There. I will give it 10 free swats with its wings before I break its neck.
Someone bring us a swan.
I can't wait to have somebody cut apart our episode to say, have Nathan say, I can't wait to fuck a duck.
No, I don't want to. That's why I'm not fighting the horse-sized duck.
Wait a minute. Here we go. Cracks.com, the six cutest animals that can destroy you. I bet a swan is on here because it came up in my Google search.
Guaranteed that it's a myth.
Okay. I'm gonna
she's gonna continue researching on Cracked.
Yeah. Cracked is gospel.
To some people.
To be fair, if there was anyone at the table that would believe Katie in that statement, it is Nathan.
Yeah.
I would say it depends on the temperament of the duck. I would fight a horse-sized duck. I think it'd be funny.
I would never fight a horse-sized duck.
I don't want to fight a horse-sized anything.
Yeah, that's to be fair. That's just not a good...
Because let's be honest, I don't want a horse to beat me up.
I mean, especially, I don't want to fight a horse-sized horse. That's just not a thing I want to do.
Godless killing machines.
Yeah, change anything into that size. It's not going
to
be good.
Well, I was thinking there would be a chance to possibly train it, and then you could have like a super large duck.
This is like Thunderdome. This is
okay.
One man or duck leave.
Yeah, then I would fight a bunch of duck-sized horses. Yes,
agreed.
I mean, their hooves would hurt, but I don't think they're as lethal. Yeah. Like, you get a lot of bruises, but...
I think you could probably cage them.
Kick them.
You could probably cage and sell them.
No, it's fight to the death, man.
No.
You're not getting the question.
You're really wrong.
What part
really
of fight to the death is confusing to you? You're like, I would love it. It would be my friend. We'd start a sitcom together.
I want
to
pet it and hug it and
Andy
squeeze
and Duck.
It.
Private eyes.
Dude, that would be an amazing show. The Beard and the Duck.
All right. We're running really long. Can we get like 10 minutes on the clock for Zappity Grumble here?
No, we'll just do it.
All right. I Want a New Duck is one of my best songs from Weird Al.
That is a good song.
Whenever I hear the actual original, all I hear is actually Weird Al's lyrics.
Well,
that's like for almost every Weird
but
Al
especially,
song.
But especially Want a New Duck.
Okay, here's the thing that the Swan Sanctuary says. It says it can break bones.
The swans?
Swans can break bones. No, swans can break a human bone, but only... In a weak-boned person, such as a child or an elderly person.
Okay.
So I'm going to go 50-50 on this.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because you said they couldn't do anything.
Do nasally women count?
That's why Nathan's afraid of them.
Oh, no, it's a swan.
All right. We're ripping through them this week. Is everybody ready?
I'll give us 15.
I'm ready.
14. No, we don't need time.
Is Brian always so condescending to those in his meta who he beats but play factions he loses to when outside of Madison?
Probably, I'm not sure.
Brian got confused, Travis. You had too many.
There's too many words.
Brian's always condescending. Move on.
All right.
Zabrity.
Too many variables.
Your thoughts on conversion restrictions, already covered.
Zabrity.
Grumble.
Archer Vice, salvageable season or make it a dream sequence after a drunken night out by Archer?
An amazing season.
An amazing season that is back to where it started.
Yeah,
you don't
seen
have to salvage season. Something that's good.
Did I watch the final of that season?
Oh, did I just spoil it for you?
No. I know it went back. I think I watched the final. I can't remember.
I unfortunately, the kid. The way my stupid DVR goes, it cuts off the last minute. So I missed like the last minute. I got to the point where they did all the arrangements.
Yeah.
But I missed part of
watch
it.
That, Katie.
I know. Zappity.
Danger Zone.
Gumball. Will you all be back for DICON? Most assuredly, Stu.
Yes.
Zappity.
Gumball.
And by all of us, I mean Brian, Katie, and I. I don't know if Nathan or Andy are planning to go.
I will be there.
Okay. Since he tried them all at the Gateway Open, which flavor of Slurpee was Andy's favorite?
Mango.
Yeah, I agree. The mango was delicious.
Mango
was
a good flavor.
That was the only one. It was mango combined with Fanta. It was amazing.
Do they have cherry? Good old cherry.
They had the wild cherry. That was okay.
Not the white cherry. The white
cherry. So to go over the ones I got the wild cherry. I got the mango. I got the blue raspberry and something else. Grape. Just regular grape.
Grape's but, always gross.
Yeah. The grape is
grape
okay.
Is good. I don't get why there's always the Coca-Cola Slurpee. Like, I would
I
just
like,
get a Coke.
I like Coke Slurpee.
I would just get a Coke.
They
had
Dr. Pepper
on this one.
They did have a Dr. Pepper Slurpee.
It's a shame it's not Mr. Pibb.
It's a shame it's not just
Dr. Pibb
in a can and in soda form.
I will say, hilariously, so Andy had all of these, and he looked normal. Keith ate just the blue raspberry one, and it looked like he gave Papa Smurf a blowjob. Like, it really did.
Is that what we're calling Will nowadays?
That's Will's new nickname.
If somebody calls him Papa Smurf, I'm going to lose it.
I am calling Pagani Papa Smurf from now on.
Yeah, the next time I see him, that's going to happen.
And what Chili, make that happen.
Yeah.
Don't explain it, Chili. Just start calling him Papa Smurf.
Matt on your guys' podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, so we don't have to name names. He's now Papa Smurf. But yeah, mango.
Papa S.
Mango is we can't put labels.
Yeah.
We can't use.
We can call him Big Papa.
Well, I'm not planning to use Pagani in a Privateer Press sanctioned tournament. So I
don't know. I regularly do that.
Pagani!
No, you have to call Papa Smurf.
No, I have to call it a Papa Smurf.
Papa Smurf!
That's going to be amazing the next time
I did have to do that in my tournament, too. But anyway, yeah. Mango good. Mango is awesome.
Zebra!
Gumball.
Was there a Long John Silver's on the way to St. Louis? Not that I noticed.
There was.
Was there?
We didn't stop at one.
We didn't stop.
I wasn't on the trip.
That's true.
You wasn't. I would have broken the car making it stop.
Well, the problem is the only one they passed is also right next door. They serve the things we like, the horseshoes.
Oh.
Ew.
On our way back down, we're getting horseshoes.
Don't do another Weird Al.
Yeah, no.
Looking for advice on choosing my second faction. Got deep into Circle, and now I want to try to go as completely different as possible to make myself better at the game overall. Any thoughts would be appreciated.
Choose the
Kador?
Faction that you like the look the most.
No, but
she wants something. It's a she.
Elizabeth. Oh,
it's yep, Elizabeth. Yep, this Elizabeth. Is one of the ones I saw before I stopped.
Sorry.
Cut off. She wants, like, so the question
something
is, what is
different?
A faction that plays very differently from Circle?
Scorn, yeah. You have Kador.
Well, but if
Troll
she wants
Bloods.
To get better, then you should. She should do a War Machine.
Yeah, I
rewards.
Always support getting one of each play system. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say either Kador or possibly Convergence.
I wouldn't do Convergence. Convergence is the most Hordes-like of all the War Machine things, so if you want to go super different, I would stay away from that. Don't do Krix.
Nope.
Menoth, maybe Menoth. But Kator's a good one, which several people have already said.
Yeah.
Things like Enliven feel a little bit like Sprint.
I guess so.
Yeah, and Krix is basically... Well, I mean, that's the reason why Brian got out of Circle in the first place. Is because they play very similar to...
Well, back Circle. When Mark won, they were the first with only one book. Definitely they did.
Yeah.
I mean, Andy's right. Take what one you think looks cool into it. That's always a good thing when you're saying, what faction should I blank? But... I think Kador's the least Circle-like.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yep.
Zappy?
Gumball.
In honor of Mother's Day, whose mother is most feared by other cast members?
None of us know each other's mother.
Well, you all met mine.
You would all fear mine if you'd met her.
I've never met your mother, though. That's
she's
true.
Like me, but stronger.
That is scary.
Like a deeper voice, or...?
Yes.
More nasally?
No.
More facial hair?
She's like me, but like 4 foot tall and made of pure... strength and sarcasm and rage.
I would love your mom.
Yeah. Oh no, she's awesome, but she would break you.
She would love me.
Probably. I'm not going to say anything bad about my mother.
My mom's not really scary.
No, she's not.
No, I love mine. She loves me. I'm her favorite. She tells my brothers that all the time. But she's scary.
Hmm. My mom's just like me, only so you know. We're not very attractive.
God, you're just so unfuckable.
I know.
Zappity, please God, Zappity.
Grumble!
Have any of you been in our fair lands of Canada? I once illegally crossed the border.
I was on both sides of Niagara Falls. I did get a kick out of the places right over the border taking advantage of stupid Americans. Because, like, the Canadian dollar at the time, like, there was, like, $1.10 Canadian for every dollar American. So a fair price, like, if something costs $10, it should cost, like, $11. And all these Canadian, like, tourist traps were charging, like, $20. Yeah. And they tell the Americans, like, well, our dollar's not worth as much. So it's actually about the same. And they were just fleecing the fuck out of people. And I was like, good job.
What I like is that the Canadian dollar is now, or at least it was, I don't, probably still is, stronger than the American dollar. But the books, they still charged more, like, when it...
Yeah,
books.
Yeah, and that's based. Dude, oh, here's his Canadian dollars. Okay. Like, that's like cha-ching.
Yep.
I went up to a place called Quetico Park up in Ontario. I canoed up there for like 2 weeks up in the wilderness. So that'd be fun. That's my crossing into Canada.
I almost was to Canada.
My uncle and his friend were driving through Canada once and they hit a moose. And I don't know if I've told this story before, but they hit the moose. The moose went up over the hood. It spun. Its ass broke through the windshield.
It died.
And its dying thing was to spray diarrhea all over the inside of the car.
You said an animal. I don't think you mentioned.
It was a moose. It was a moose. So that Christmas, we all gave them moose-themed gifts.
That's awesome.
Did you stuff them with something else? Like frosting?
Most importantly, we gave Marianne a new coffee mug because hers got filled by the moose.
Nice.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. Nice. She threw it away.
You think?
There's no cleaning that takes care of that.
Nope.
Well, some hot water.
I mean, it's so funny because you're driving. You're like, oh, my God, a moose. Oh, my God, shit everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like how you process all that. Oh, my God, I need to, you know, it's like,
And how, like, you're so far away from a shower.
And you're not going to next door. You're next house, like, hello. You're just covered in shit. Like, I need help.
You know what you needed for the whole situation? A Malcolm.
Yeah. Malcolm would have taken care of it.
Ew. That would have been Christmas for Malcolm.
Yeah, but then you'd have Malcolm shit everywhere because it would have just like exploded his belly.
Grumble.
Why so many battle reports lately to give me migraines? Because we are full on into hardcore traveling to con season.
This is War Machine season.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm sorry,
it's
we travel.
Similar to duck season.
Our battle reports are shorter than the others.
And our podcast is really long today, and like 8 minutes was or less was battle report.
We barely talked about the battle reports. Yeah. If you don't like them, skip them.
A lot of battle reports because there's been a lot of battles.
Yep.
Zappity.
Rumble.
Why is my friend Aaron unwilling to ask his own questions?
He's a pussy.
I agree.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Who is your favorite dark horse caster?
Well, I think Gorshade's horse is the darkest. Right? I mean, it's black, I think, in the studio scheme.
I mean, I like
Am
Sarah.
Am I misunderstanding the question?
She's
but
a dark horse.
But I thought that you weren't supposed to wear black at night because it made you sit up more. You're supposed to wear like a dark purple. Are there any dark purple horses?
It's like a dark
maybe
green.
Maybe in like Legion or something. It's not a horse. Maybe like their dragon-y thing.
No.
Can we get like a spectrometer to figure out which horse is the darkest?
Dark Horse Comics?
I vote Bethane in all honesty.
I like Marv. Are they just asking
I think
who
he's
Travis
pretty cool.
is?
Marv's cool.
part of the Dark Horse comic unity.
James K. Polk was a Dark Horse candidate when he became the 11th president of the United States of America. He's pretty cool.
Zappity.
Gumball.
Last War Machine weekend, there was a mention of a CD playlist.
Fiona the Black will be my actual answer, okay. Because Jordan's finally giving her some table time in the public scheme.
I'd say, yeah,
and I love
she's fairly well. I mean, we've seen her up in Madison a ton of times, but just not anywhere else.
I really like Bethane. You never see her.
That's because you lost with her.
Well, I did, but I still really like her. It could be operator error, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble. Last War Machine weekend, there was a mention of a CD/playlist to torment Nathan for the drive there. Any way the general public can get a hold of it to torment their quote-unquote
when
friends?
When I moved recently, I threw it out. But, I mean, if you go back to our Twitter feed, he named off every single song that was on it.
It's true.
It was you just find that event, and then he's like every tweet's.
Thankfully, Nathan. There were like two songs he had on there that I actually liked, so they gave me reprieves. It was like getting my head above water while being drowned, and so
because Katie and I were reading the tweets because we were in a different car, laughing our asses off, and really wishing we had those songs to listen to.
The worst thing is they're in my Amazon Cloud Player, so when I go into my Cloud Player, I get like random. They occasionally come up. I'm like, God damn it! They were there for a joke for something else. So I had to go through and like delete the songs from my library just so I couldn't ever hear them again.
Your job when we go to Gen Con is to create a Gen Con CD.
All right, I'll work on it.
Or multiples. It's a long drive.
It's a long drive. You're only allowed to have one Weird Al CD.
That's fine.
What the hell is wrong with you? How many songs can you fit on a CD? Like 4 hours worth, right?
With Weird Al, I can jam light on.
Yeah.
We'll have one song of one CD for Queen, one CD for Meatloaf, one CD for Weird Al.
Was it just them?
I want to ride with him back to Gen Con. I'm not even going to attend Gen Con. I just want to be in the car for the Queen, Meatloaf, Weird Al marathon.
Those 3 hours is all you need in life.
Yeah.
Didn't Sony just release a tape that had like 13 terabytes or 130 terabytes of music on it?
Probably.
I can believe that.
So.
Zippity.
Grumble. Moving on to Facebook. We only have a couple on here. Dark Legacy asks, how does Katie feel not being a quote-unquote competent circle player in Brian's eyes?
Well, this is how I felt since the beginning of the game, so same.
Aren't you on Twitter now?
Oh, sorry. I went from Facebook to Twitter. I apologize. Only a couple of Twitter questions.
So he went to Chicago and then went to St. Louis.
Oh, shush. Zappity.
Gumball.
Favorite grave, nobody responded.
Favorite charity.
Favorite charity? It's the one that Penny Arcade runs, which is the Kids Play, I believe.
Child's Play.
It's a good one.
Generally because they've posted the books on it, and they only take about, like, I want to say about 7% of the total
for the overhead
just for operating costs, and then the rest all goes to the kids, and that's awesome.
It is not many other
charities have that can boast anything like that.
No. Well, but you have to remember, like, I agree that the operating costs shouldn't be a bulk of it, but you have to remember sometimes they're paying so that they can get the best people in. Like, you should look at what they're doing with them.
True.
Yeah.
As opposed to be like, oh, they have a bunch of admin costs. Well, they should. A shitty charity.
Oh, even if they have the best admins, but there's still a percentage where it's unacceptable. I mean, yeah, I agree. No,
but there are charities out there that are like 75% goes to overhead. It's like, well, it's not really overhead anymore. It's you're making money.
Yeah. Or none of it goes to it, and it just goes to the awareness of it.
Yeah. I don't like
certain, British pop singers. It's annoying.
Okay. I am a fan of simple things like local food pantries and things like that. Because that's like, you give someone a box of food and they get a box of food, there's really no problem there.
No, I like that one too.
I despise the Susan G. Komen Foundation and think they're the worst thing on the fucking planet.
Which is almost like having a favorite.
I like the one, I don't know recently the whole overhead blah blah blah, but the concept of, I really like the one where you buy goats for the families.
Yeah.
And that's kind of neat. Just go through catalog and I'm like, oh, I'll buy a mule. And then this family just gets a mule.
Yeah.
And that's like, because they live in a place where they know, like, I wouldn't know what to do with a goat. But
you open the door and someone hears a goat, you're like, help.
I mean, it's the equivalent of buying, it's a huge thing because it's not just like, here's a meal or here's one thing. Like, that is a huge leg up. It'd be like providing a car to somebody, who needed it to be able to get to a job and get to school and something in America. And so I really like that one.
If I give you a mule, we would ride it everywhere you need to go to work.
If you gave me a mule, I would ride it to work, yes.
All right.
Christmas present decided.
Yeah.
We give to St. Jude's.
Oh, 14 minutes.
We're almost done.
We give to St. Jude's, which I like just because it's all about the kids and helping families that can't afford it. Plus, they do all that research. But then there's – I can't find – I heard a thing on the radio the other day. I guess it's been a while now, that was like how big the sex slave industry is in America. But I just couldn't find like a good
– I've been trying to support it.
I couldn't find a good charity for it. Like, there are a bunch of there's like a charity rating website out there, and the only ones I found were like 1 or 2 stars. Like, kind of,
they're making such a big deal about the sex slave trade lately. And first of all, it's kind of, I've been reading something where it's like this big anti thing about it, where some of it's like, they're just, some of these people are just mad about prostitution. Now, obviously, there's a difference between... There's a big difference.
There's the bring the girls home, which is in a different country, but the sex slave industry in, like, America is huge, and what happens is people just leave their kids on the street, and they get picked up by pimps, basically.
On a brighter side, tying into St. Jude, one that I want to mention, because I had dismissed it for the first 30 or so years of my life, is Ronald McDonald House is actually a really good charity. Yeah. And, like, I didn't know what the fuck it was, because it would just be, they'd have these jar goes, run a McDonald house. I'm like, he doesn't need a house. He's a rich clown. But, like, it's actually really good.
Tiny car, though.
And, yeah. For those of you who don't know what it does, it actually, like, it provides, like, hotel costs and things like, and not hotel, they actually have things. It's a living, it's a
isn't it an orphanage?
Hostel, essentially. No, it's living arrangements for the families of kids who are in hospitals. So if your kid's dying of leukemia and he has to go to Washington, D.C., where the only doctor that can save their life is, and you need to also go to be near your kid, they have a Ronald McDonald House in that city that you can stay at free of charge. They have meals there while you're there so that you can be near your kid. So it kind of ties in with the St. Jude thing.
Or like closer to us, they do like the Mayo Clinic and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep, no, that's a good one. My favorite and one that I've supported for a really long time is Habitat for Humanity. It kind of the same idea as with the animals thing, kind of a teaching a man to fish versus giving a man a fish. Like, giving someone somewhere to live temporarily with Ronald McDonald or permanently with Habitat is a really, really big deal. Like, it just is, so.
So I didn't mean to laugh at your charity. I was laughing because of the teach a man to fish made me think of give fight, a man a fire. Yeah.
Me and Nathan would tell the exact same rule.
You said teach him, if you give a man a fire, you keep him warm for a day. If you set a man on fire, you keep him warm for the rest of his life.
Yeah. I decided not to go with that analogy.
Well, it's not a habit, it's a hobby. It's great for poor people. And Brian and I are just giggling over here.
Wow. Well, only we could do that.
And the great thing with Habitat for Humanity, like, just to finish up, the great thing with Habitat for Humanity that I really liked is when I was a poor college student, which I was still richer than a lot of those people were, obviously, but I didn't have any money to give out, I could still help. I could go and I could put in my time and
go and assemble houses.
Assemble houses. And I learned a lot. It was great for me, but also they got houses. And I like that they do the sweat equity thing where the people that are going to live in the house have to help work on the house.
Yeah.
Because then they value it as opposed to, like, a lot of times you just give someone something and they don't value it.
Habitat Humanity, they're tied to Restore, right? Or am I just making that up?
The one there on Nodana?
Well, any of them. It's a chain. Yes. That is Habitat.
That's Habitat. Run through Habitat for Humanity.
Isn't that Jimmy Carter?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's who basically helps. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So I really, that's my favorite. So
cool. Jabity.
Crumble.
Now that Hail Hydra is meh Hydra, will your cast all quit Rhett? First of all, only one of us plays Rhett. Second of all, I posted in the threads both on...
Play everything so you don't count. Every time someone says only one of us plays blank, you get all offended. You play every faction.
You play like two casts in the
list. Andy, I'll make you a deal. You bring Rhett to the final Cedar Rapids event, and I will admit you are also a Rhett player.
At this point, I only consider you a mercenary player because that's the only thing I've seen you play in the last 6 months.
Okay.
I agree.
Just when I first met you,
I've taken Rhett to Lock
and
Load.
You were a Legion and Protectorate player, and then you were a Troll player, and now you're a Merc player.
If you're taking the Lock and Load, why don't you take the league before? You get that little practice in it. Why would you not do that?
Well,
because he can win in Cedar Rapids with the first name. I understand your question.
Even so, if you're going to go to a big convention, who gives a fuck about the convention before the big convention? I mean,
nobody's net decking for me, but I'm bringing Eth, Agrosh, and Bethane to Cedar Rapids.
Because you want to take it to Lock and
Load. Because I want to take it to Lock and Load, and I want to make sure it works at all.
I'm bringing Lucant.
Well, go fuck yourself.
The only reason
Eth, Agrosh, go fuck yourself.
The only reason I'm taking the red to Lock and Load is because they're also fully painted, too.
Which helps.
Yeah.
Hey, if anybody wants to bring two Enigma Foundries to the Cedar Rapids event for me, that would be great. Because I won't have mine by then.
No?
Should they let you know if they're going to bring them for you?
If they're there when I show up, they're there when I show up.
It's fair. Although when we show up, no one else will be there because we're going to get there an hour before the store opens because Brian's involved. It's not wrong.
Nobody can hear you shrug.
They can hear. Travis can hear the shrug.
Anyway, as I was saying about Rhett before Andy decided he played Rhett, I posted on both the Muse forum and the Privateer Press forum that, A, obviously that was a typo, and the best I could hope for was 4 Focus Jacks, which would have been amazing, but whatever. But second of all, how do most factions deal with an army of things that push your shit around?
It's beatable. It was beatable.
And Armor 18 light jacks that cost 4 points that just push your shit around really bad, and oh, by the way, you can't run first turn.
Yeah, that theme force is really
good. Also, I like to point out what you told me is you just took whichever side was... Like
I was having fun with the internet. Every time the argument started to die down, I'd argue for the other side. Like, I just argued for both sides throughout the day because I was having fun with it.
So I did post for both of them.
Then it was like, this is the list you should be afraid of. Like, this isn't perfect, but this is like 30 seconds of thinking the actual competitive version of this list.
Even without the Hydra, it's a scenario monster.
Yes.
And still, Hail Hydra is still a cool thing.
It is still a cool thing, yes. It's not applicable to the list anymore.
I was really mad that they made Gary Shandling's character Hydra. I liked when he... I
liked it when he wasn't fat.
He was just a dick. I liked when he was just an unrelated dick.
I liked it when he was deflated. Yeah. Whatever he did for his plastic surgery was a bad choice.
He got full body Botox.
When he got out, he should have said, "What is wrong?"
And just, he's preparing for his role as the Michelin Man.
I need Nigel, because Nigel's been complaining about the last couple of movies he's seen. I need him to see some more movies. Because
did he not like Thor 2?
I know. You guys didn't see
it. I don't know either. That. So, Nathan, next time that we go down to wherever the Iowans live, Des Moines, we'll make sure we bring the
pain train. You and I are just a two-man pain train, and it'll be the internet will be like,
we'll watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That is the one that I said. I said you two should
that
definitely
or
watch.
Transform or anything.
Fucking A. Why do they keep making Transformers movies?
Because they're making money.
Fuck you, people.
I'm gonna go to the next one too. It's because I'm a glutton.
It'll probably be a B+ quality movie.
Dinosaur.
What are you doing tomorrow, Nathan? You want to go see Spider-Man?
No,
you're my buddy in hateful Spider-Man movies.
Yeah,
we have to go see it tomorrow. It's $5.
I'll see it next week when I have money because I have a job.
I will give you $5 tomorrow to go see Spider-Man.
Getting a job,
yeah, congrats.
Where did you get?
All right,
a job,
I would see Spider-Man with you for free.
Okay. I don't want to pay two
tickets. You got him.
I would also go for free.
No,
we're all going, and he's paying.
No,
anything.
You legitimately like the first one.
I don't remember if I've seen it, let's be honest.
Okay.
To answer your question, Katie, I have the exact same job, just at a competitor for 25% more money. So
ooh, that sounds like a better
getting fired
job.
Worked out well for
is
me.
Is it the one over by my work? The competitor over by my work?
It's right on where Whitney and O'Dana meet.
Yeah, over by my work.
Yeah.
We'll have to have lunch.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Crumble!
That's it. That's all she wrote.
Recommendations?
Mecha-rendations. I have mine. I'll go first.
Go.
I'm going to recommend the game Dwarven Den. It's an iPad iOS game. It's really, really fun. It's
you're welcome, by the way.
Yeah, Katie introduced me to it.
I've seen her play more games. Like, what the fuck is going on here, Katie? Yeah.
So it's
they
very
don't
fun.
Have any. They
you play
don't
as a little
any,
dwarf,
you,
and you dig around, and there's like spiders and mummies that try to kill you, and you have to like not run out of energy, and you can make bombs and torches, and it's no Minecraft, so I don't want to get Andy's hopes too high, but it's very fun. It's a fun little silly game where you try to beat the level and do the puzzle. Andy's glaring at me. Because the description I was giving sounded a little bit like Minecraft, but it's not Minecraft.
Just go!
Anyway, that's my recommendation. Dwarven Den. I assume it's possibly on other systems, but it's definitely on iOS at the App Store.
I posted a link to it a couple of weeks ago, and nobody else has responded to it, but everybody should be playing Broforce. Broforce is it's kind of like a throwback to the old 80s Nintendo shooters like Contra and Commando, etc., etc., except for it stars every single action star that you can think of. So RoboCop's in it, Blade is in it, Chuck Norris, RoboCop again.
it's like Contra via Expendables.
kind of in the way, but it has explosive environments, so you're, you know, when you throw a grenade, parts of the map will go away.
So it's like worms.
Yeah, the bad guys actually won't engage you unless you start shooting them first. It looks an amazing game. It's supposed to be really fun to play with four players. I think it's out for the PS4. It's on Steam right now, but it's probably going to come out to those other systems. But we need to play it. Everyone needs to get it. It's $15 right now, early access.
There you go. I'm going to recommend an iOS game, too, I started playing today. I haven't played it a ton, but it was really fun when I played. It's called Castle Storm. It's kind of like you're basically fighting other people's castles. It's all story-based, but it's kind of like, it's almost like you're trying to destroy their castle, kind of like Angry Birds-esque, where you're shooting, like, things at them. But instead of, like, having, like, three eggs, you're just shooting a bunch of, like, arrows or catapults or pigs. And also, you guys are fighting across the ground. You have this ground battle while you're also upgrading your own little keep. It's kind of a neat little like multi-layer adventure type of game. It was free. It's sort of like if you could buy things. It's like click this button to make spend 10 gems and make it easier. Kind of like any of those online games. But it's still free. You could ignore all that crap. But yeah, no, it's kind of neat.
Downloading now.
Oh, there you go.
What is it?
Castle Storm.
Do you get Game Center points?
Not at all, Katie.
I don't have a new recommendation, so I'm going to re-recommend something, and I'm going to tell an anecdote based on somebody else's recommendation. So I downloaded Plague Inc., which Brian recommended a couple episodes ago. And so I downloaded it. I played it once. I got halfway through playing it again. Raylene said, "What's that?" And I showed it to her, and she said, "Ooh, let me try." And I didn't get my Kindle back for the next 30 hours. So Raylene really liked playing it.
Excellent.
She stayed up and played it until the Kindle died that night. Like, I fell asleep. She stayed up until like 3 in the morning.
Killing everyone on the planet is addicting, and it takes a while. And one wrong move, and they start curing your goddamn disease. Oh, you're like, damn
fuck
it.
You.
And they can, all the mutations make everyone just start bleeding out of their butts.
So, and the achievements you get. Like, I got an achievement yesterday called Brown Streets, which is because it was insanity and diarrhea. So people were running around pooing themselves, and it was the Brown Streets achievement. It's fun. And then I'm going to re-recommend, because in the last week, I think I have watched at least 30 hours worth of this thing, because, you know, I've just been sitting at home unemployed. But QI is still amazing. It's hilarious and informative. Yesterday I watched an episode that had David Tennant on it, and he's awesome. But QI, if you're British, you already know it. If you're American, I mentioned it.
Is it an interview show?
It's a panel show. It's Stephen Fry like four comedians, and he mentions interesting facts, or he asks, you know, this, that, the other, and then you learn interesting things, and they just laugh. Brian Blessed's on there sometimes, and he's loud and awesome because he's Brian Blessed.
I've seen a lot of clips of that show.
The clips are hilarious. Like, watch, it's on YouTube, legally or not, I don't know, but it's like 43 minutes an episode. There's like 200 something episodes, so just fucking watch QI.
Mine's really lame. I'm going to recommend Clean Sheets. They're amazing. We finally got a third set of sheets into our rotation, and so they've been changed much more often. Because I only do laundry once every 2 weeks.
I wash my sheets at least once every 6 months, and I have one set of sheets.
Switch between flannel sheets for winter and silk sheets for cotton.
But if you try cleaning them like once a month, they're amazing. Like, that's 12 times more often.
One of my favorite things about summer is when it gets warm enough that I don't need blankets, I can just sleep with just the top sheet on, and it feels amazing.
It is good.
Plus, I sleep in the nude.
I also recommend that.
Yes.
That's also
sleeping
good.
In the nude is amazing.
I recently discovered that.
I talked her into it.
Which, thank you, because I've been standing outside your guys' bedroom window for months. And I'm like, enough with the pajamas.
The live feed. The views on the live feed went way up.
Yeah. I have so many pen cameras that I snuck in your bedroom. You guys are like, why are there 87 pens on every surface in our bedroom? And they all have red lights?
I just thought they were convenient.
How do you guys know about the live feed? What the hell?
Can't get that performances that good and not know.
That's why our battle reports are so exciting for people. Ooh, Jeremy popped his feet.
Wow.
But it's probably a good time to end it.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening to episode 71 and a half.
A good 60-minute episode.
Yeah.